Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, another live prophetic talk show where we do it more than we talk about it. That is minister to you personally. We do that a lot, as you know. Listen to us much. We're here to personally minister to you, and so it's really a lot of fun. Hopefully you are enjoying that, and we want to do a whole lot more of it, so join in there and do whatever God speaks to you to help us keep doing it, and that would be awesome. So, really, really cool. All right. We are going to minister to you tonight a little bit in the Word, and then we'll talk to some of our friends, see what's going on. And so, ready for that. All right. All right. So, here we go. All right. So we're going to be we're believing God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to become more powerful as God cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from the leadership on down. I think the biggest beautiful thing about all the leadership being cleansed is that what we give to the body of Christ is going to be powerful, going to be wonderful, going to be amazing. And so be a part of that and join in and, you know, let the Lord cleanse you. Maybe there's some things that you need to be cleansed of. Don't think you need to be cleansed or anything because you have no obvious sins. Amen. Sometimes there's unobvious sin. You know, things that we don't know. Yeah. And so since you're born again, what makes you go to hell is not sin. Sin does not send you to hell. Not being born again, that's what sends you to hell. When you're not born again, you go to hell whether you never did a wrong thing in your life or not, right? I mean, that's what the Bible says. You must be born again. It's not really about having your sins forgiven you, although that is part of the process, as we know. That's a definite. But what gets you into heaven is being born again, right? And so the process of Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to be born again. The blood of Christ forgives you your sins so that the Holy Spirit can come in and totally remake your spirit man, seat him at the right hand of the Father, and begin to work in your soul, in your body, to renew you and make you whole. And that is what we are looking forward to, right? Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. I get cleansed all the time. God's always speaking to me about things from the Bible that change my mind about stuff all the time. And you got to go to the Word, of course. If the Lord changes, friend, then we're going to be different. We're going to be better. We're going to go from glory to glory. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want, right? And, you know, one of the things that does that is receiving the truth, receiving the engrafted Word of God for the saving of your soul, right? That's what it saves you. In the Bible, there's a little bit of confusion because many times the Bible says, if you do this, it'll save you. But what kind of saving is it talking about? Saving you from having to mow your yard? Saving you from having to clean up your house every day? Saving you from having to lose all your teeth? I mean, it's just so... I don't know why all those came in exactly. Maybe I thought about all those. Even the Bible says that women, having children saves them. I mean, you know, does that really save them? Is having children? That means every woman who's born again, whether they believe in Jesus or not, is saved? I don't think so. So saved, we have to understand what saved is. Some people say, you know, baptism in water saves you, like Noah. The water saved Noah, but the water didn't save Noah from eternal death and eternal sin, you know, from being going to hell. He was saved from dying on the earth, right? So just like baptism in water, it's very, very important. it's very important that you get baptized. I've been baptized, you know, a couple of times, but but baptism in water doesn't get you born again, but it is part of the process of you living on the earth that saves you from losing, not salvation, but saves you from losing your promises in the earth. Because when you get baptized in water, you go down to the water for to bury your old life, right, and to live a new life. So what's that all about? Does that give you eternal salvation? Not at all, not even close. But it gives you that you're declaring in the earth, saying, you know, my old life is buried with Christ, and I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. So therefore, I'm going to live the life on the earth with the saving knowledge of Jesus, right? But it doesn't mean every time you sin, you're going to go to hell, right? So I think as we begin to understand Scripture a little bit more, we're going to find out that every time the Bible says, this saves you, just like I mentioned the one about, the Bible talks about when, because Eve sinned, you know, women are saved by having children. But we know that's not true, right? But it still says saved. So when you understand that the Bible talks about saved in many different fashions and many different forms, that you realize that it has nothing to do with eternal salvation. Once you get born again, you're saved. That's it. Once you get recreated in the image of the likeness of Jesus, it's not about whether you die with some sins in your life. I think people every day die with sins in their life, and they go to heaven, right? Because it's not having sin in your life isn't what sends you to hell, and it's not what stops you from going to heaven. What stops you from going to heaven, friend, is being born again, period. There isn't anything that gets you to heaven. Forgiveness of sin does not get you to heaven. Being born again is what gets you to heaven, and this is what God told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, do you not understand you're a teacher of the law? That in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. He didn't say, because he knew Nicodemus understood the, you know, all the laws about, you know, what the blood of animals did. You know, he understood the forgiveness realm, right? He understood the forgiveness realm. But you know one thing he didn't understand, which most people still don't understand, is the born-again realm. Because they think they got all these things. If you sin this many times, you're going to lose your salvation. If you don't sin this many times, you're going to be that much better. No. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. That's it. That's what gets you to heaven, not getting your sins forgiven. And I repeat this many times because people misunderstand me and try to misquote me sometimes. But I'm not saying that your forgiveness of sin is not important to getting born again, but that's not what gets you to heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus, you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? You must be what? Born again. In other words, your spirit man has to be recreated by the Holy Spirit, which Jesus knew nobody was going to have until after the day, after he died on the cross. Right, and really when the day of Pentecost happened, the Holy Spirit came. People started being born again, right? They became new creatures. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, so. There's a whole lot of things, friend, that we're going to learn that's going to cleanse us. Because when we believe wrong, even though we do it because our leadership told us this is the truth, and we live in fear. Because, you know, when you think that you're going to lose your salvation, depending on what sin you sin, if you think you're going to lose your salvation over that, then you're always worried and living in fear, wondering, you know, okay, did I do it then? Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Did I really get forgiven of that? Listen, you don't have to worry about being forgiven of that. It's not about being forgiven of that. It's about, are you born again as far as going to heaven? That's it. Jesus, like I said, talked to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you're a teacher of the law. You're the greatest teacher. You're the teacher of Israel. All Israel listens to you. And yet you don't understand that. Friend, when Jesus told that to Nicodemus, he was saying something that you and I, many times, much of the people that I know, including some of you and including me before God told me, you know, we don't get it. We really don't get it, what Nicodemus was being told by Jesus. And John 3:16, of course, is like right in there, right? And so he's talking about being born again. That's how you get to heaven, friend. When I went to heaven, I got the kingdom of heaven inside of me the moment I said, God, if you're real, I need to know it. I need to know it now. I never said forgiveness. I never asked forgiveness for sin. I never asked forgiveness for anything. Well, later I did. But that day when I said, Jesus, if you're real, I need to know it. I need to know it now. What he did for me is he cleansed me with his blood. And the Holy Spirit came inside me and birthed me and made me a whole new creature. And I knew it. I felt it. I sensed it. I didn't really know it till the next day. When I began to have breakfast with the people that we hung around with all the time, and they said, what's wrong with you? I'm going, what do you mean, what's wrong with me? Like, is my hair messed up or something? They say, you know, you're not cussing, you know, like, would you get religion or something? I don't know. I don't remember what they said exactly, but they said, what's wrong with you? And I like, oh my God, you know? And so, but I look back at that. I never asked forgiveness for anything. I knew I was a sinner, but what good does it do to ask for forgiveness from a God that you don't even know if he's real or not? So when God showed me he was real, he did it by forgiving me of my sins, though I didn't ask for them, and birthing me in the Spirit, which, you know, from that day forward, without a preacher praying a prayer with me, without somebody showing me what to say, how to say it, and how to hold my tongue just right, hold my hands up, and all this stuff, no, it was between me and God, and I just said, God, and he knew see, friend, when you're sincere and the Holy Spirit's drawing you, you know what? That's all it takes. Yeah, it's getting born again, that's what gets you to heaven. You got to get that straight. Nicodemus didn't get it straight. He didn't understand it. Jesus said, man, you're a teacher of Israel. You know, in other words, he was a very well-known, good-hearted man. And Jesus said, you don't understand this? And most people today, friend, don't understand it. I mean, today I'm talking to people right now that don't understand what I'm telling you. maybe we should go there and look at it in the Bible, right? Let's look at it in the Word. Hang on just a second here. Let's go. Let me go here. Thank you for being patient with me tonight as I go through this. I had not planned on talking about this tonight, although I have been thinking about it a lot. Anybody know what that scripture is? John 3. All right. Everybody knows where John 3 is. That's where the salvation prayer is, or the salvation scripture. Everybody knows, John 3:16. Let's look at this. And let's go to the new, some people like the New King James. Let's go there for a minute. I'm not sure how it says it, but who cares? All right. As long as it's plain. There was a man of the Pharisees, he was a Pharisee, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. He said, we know that. Remember, he just didn't say, I know that. He was saying, we know. In other words, there were many people that knew he was a teacher from God, because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. So Nicodemus is saying, man, we know you're of God. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say, and watch what he does. I love this, man. This is so cool. He's talking to one of the most famous, well-known rabbis, who Jesus later calls him the teacher of Israel. And the first thing he says to him, well, let's get right down to the point. Let's get right to the point. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? He didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. Let me tell you something, friend. There's some people that they may not answer the question like that. You say, how do you get born again? Well, there's seven steps. When you go to hell, when you die, you must have all your sins forgiven you, or you go to hell, even if you were a Christian. Wrong. Lie. Lie. Do we want people to sin? Of course we don't. You know what? Because sin, you know what sin does? Sin disqualifies you from being blessed and having the kingdom come to you in the earth. Because the reason we get the kingdom of God in us is so that the kingdom that in the heaven can connect to the kingdom in the earth, the kingdom of heaven in us, and God can start sending down that cool-looking ladder, and all those angels and messengers from God bringing messages to us. And bringing things from heaven just, you know, depends on how much you walk with God and how busy the angels are and the Holy Spirit is, right? I don't know how busy Jacob's ladder was that day, but you know what? I think I know some people that, man, they're walking with God. The angels are just going up and down. I mean, their ladders are they barely have room. It's like an escalator with thousands of angels on it because they got so much stuff to deliver because they're walking with God. How are we getting up on that? I don't know. All right. So, but you know, when you're walking with God, when you're walking free of sin, or you have sin and you get forgiveness of that sin, and then you eventually through communion and other things, you begin to change the way you live. What you get saved from by your acts of obedience isn't from going to hell or not, because once you're born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that's it, man. If you're born again, the kingdom of heaven is yours. And nobody's going to be perfect. I don't know anybody that's perfect, and I sure don't know anybody that dies and they're perfect. I mean, most people, you know, that we don't know what they really do, right? But come on, let's just be real. Let's wake up to this stuff and start realizing what the truth is and what's really going on, and realize what Jesus himself was teaching, one of the greatest teachers in the Bible, pre-Paul the Apostle. Right? Most surely I say unto you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old and enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you know, which is the natural, water is being born, you have to be born a human being, and the Spirit, born in the human realm, in the physical realm, born of water, and it means you're born as a human being, and the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Right? Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? You see, he couldn't comprehend it because what Nicodemus understood was about forgiveness of sin. He knew a lot about forgiveness. He knew a lot about when the people of Israel bring, you know, the sheep and the goats and the bulls and whatever for forgiveness of sin. He understood that through and through. It's like a lot of people today. They think you go to heaven because you get forgiveness of sin. That's not what the Bible says. I know some of you are thinking, what's wrong with you? Let me tell you something, friend. Yes, it's part of the process. But if you got forgiveness of sin and you never got born again, you would not go to heaven if you had knowledge of the gospel. If you just said, forgive me my sin, but you didn't get born again, you would not go to heaven. Forgiveness of sin does not get you to heaven. Forgiveness of sin helps you live in the earth realm. That's why the bulls and goats thing didn't do much as far as giving them eternal life. It, you know, see, the whole forgiveness realm, the whole realm of the bulls and the goats and the blood realm, which is the forgiveness realm, none of that had anything to do with getting them to heaven. All that had to do with was getting them forgiveness of their sin every year so that they could, you know, be forgiven of their sin and live their earthly life pure and clean. Right? So Nicodemus understood the forgiveness realm, friend. Oh, forgiveness of this, forgiveness of that. In a law, there's forgiveness for accidental sins. There's forgiveness of sins of ignorance. There's forgiveness of sin for all kinds of things. Right? So Nicodemus understood the whole forgiveness realm. And today, people understand the forgiveness. You got unforgiveness. You got unforgiveness, you're going to hell. No, that's not what the Bible says. If you got unforgiveness, your life in the earth is going to be messed up. In other words, God's not going to be able really to send those ladder blessings to you, you know, L-A-D-D-E-R. The angels are not going to be coming down upon you and bring, because you got to close heaven over you. Why? Not because you're not going to heaven. No, because you're living in the earth in sin. And therefore, your supposedly resurrected life in Christ is full of sin. Therefore, you are living a life of destroying your blessings, the treasures of God. We're talking about treasures right now. The treasures that, see, the whole way that we walk in treasures, friend, is a lot of it is, of course, number one, you got to be born again. Number two is you walk in forgiveness of sin. You don't walk in forgiveness of sin so that you can go to heaven. You walk in forgiveness of sin so you can walk in the earth, in the realm, and receive the blessings of God and hear from God and walk with God. It's not about going to heaven or not. What did Jesus say about going to heaven to a person who understood the whole realm of forgiveness of sin. We got a lot of preachers, a lot of you guys, a lot of us, a lot of me. I've even done, you know, I'm just now understanding this myself, so I'm in there too. We understand forgiveness of sin, and we judge everything on whether you, wait a minute, did you forget? Oh, you didn't get forgiveness of sin about that. You know what? You could be going tonight. You better get that right with God. You're going to hell. I'm born again. It doesn't matter. You're going to hell. Well, you're not going to hell if you sin, friend. Now, it just messes you up with God as far as your relationship in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So sin blinds you from being able to see the will of God. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. You can't see it when you're blinded by sin. So getting forgiveness of sin keeps your eyes open, keeps your eyes from being covered up and mugged over and blinded, so you can see what? See to go to heaven? No. To see what God is saying, what God is doing, and walk with God in the earth and be like Enoch and Elijah and others who just got caught up with God because they pleased the Father in the earth realm. But go to heaven is one, it's a completely different thing. Whatever the process for you, with me, the process wasn't, oh God, forgive me my sin, I'm a sinner, I want to be born again. I did not pray that prayer. I've led many people in that prayer, but I did not pray that prayer. When I got born again, and it was obvious I was born again, people that were around me saw the glow in my face. They saw that I wasn't cussing anymore. I didn't even know I wasn't cussing, honest to God. I mean, I couldn't even figure out, what are they talking about? What are they staring at me for? I couldn't figure what they were staring at me for. I didn't like people staring at me. Why are they staring? I wonder why they're staring at me. I got something on my clothes, my hair messed up. What's up? Now, they saw the glory of God on me. They're like, you know, like, what did you fall in love? What did you do? What's wrong with you? You're not cussing anymore? Because they all cuss, so if you didn't cuss, there was something wrong with you, right? That's just the way it was. Yeah, so they go, like, what's wrong with you? You don't cuss anymore, you know? And I didn't, and it wasn't because I tried to quit doing it. It's just because my spirit was seated at the right hand of the Father. Though I never said, God, forgive me, saying, you know, my prayer was, God, if you're real, I need to know it. I need to know it now. That was it, y'all. Did I know I was a sinner? Did I know I was messed up? Did I know I needed forgiveness? Yeah, but I didn't get to heaven by asking God to forgive me. I got to heaven by saying, God, if you're real, I need to know now. And you know what he did? He birthed me. And yes, his blood, because he knew I was sincere about knowing him, knowing God. I wanted to know God. God, if you're real, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, God, forgive me of my sins if I don't know he's real, right? He showed me he was real. He birthed me. He showed me his love. All of a sudden, I knew God and didn't even know why I knew God. It had nothing to do with asking forgiveness for anything. Later on, I confessed a lot of stuff, man. I did. I confessed all kinds of stuff. Got deliverance. Demons came out of me, you know, spirits of all kinds of, you know, different stuff, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. But, you know, but that helped me live better on the earth. I could have demons and go to heaven. I was on my way to heaven. Man, I knew Jesus. People looked at me, and this is before, this is prior to getting delivered. And after I got some, I got deliverance over the years. And, you know, I had demons inside of me, right? I still had demons inside of me. I didn't even know it. If you'd have told me I had demons, I went, oh, I don't think so. Because I didn't think I did. Because I was in love with Jesus. I mean, totally in love with Jesus. I felt his love every day of my life. I knew he loved me. I didn't know why. I couldn't figure out why. Why would you love me? Because I'm just a worthless, no good, you know. And friend, I honest to God, I never asked God to forgive my sins for quite a while. Because I just thought, well, you know, he loves me. But now that I knew he was real and knew that, read the Bible and saw that forgiveness of sin was important, then I went to God and said, God, you know, forgive me for that time I did this. Forgive me for the time I did that. And I started getting I spent plenty of time asking for forgiveness of things that I did. And then after I lived, you know, God is gracious to me. I lived a great life after I got born again. So I didn't have a lot of things to get right. I wasn't out trying to sin. I wasn't out trying to see if I could get by with as much sin as I could. I just, you know, because I noticed that every time I sinned, every time I did something ugly and rude and mean or what wasn't God, you know, I felt even though it wasn't that bad compared to other people, but to me, if it was bad, I felt grieved by the Holy Spirit, like, God, where'd you go? Right? Then I would say, God, forgive me of that, because it kept my fellowship with him in the earth open. There's people that get born again, and they may not live a life of full sin like they did, of course, before they got born again. They got born again, you change. If you don't change, you're not really born again, right? Because that's what the sign of being born again is that you change and that you know God. You don't just think he's out there somewhere and you know he's out there somewhere. No, you know him and he knows you. That's how you know, because we know him. That's what Jesus said, you know, because he knows me and I know him. And friend, so we got to really get our thinking right about all the scriptures that talk about getting saved. You know, if having babies saves women, then, you know, some of you just need to have a baby and you're born, you're saved. That's it. Or maybe you have to have 10 babies before you're fully saved. Maybe 5, no, 7, I don't know. Maybe none, maybe just be born again. That would be nice. Instead of giving birth to babies, you get birth to Jesus inside you. So what God's going to begin to do, you know, there's been a religious spirit that has plagued a lot of us. And me, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about them, all those, you know, religious people. I'm talking about myself, right? And so God began to show me. He said, I'm going to teach you the truth. I'm going to show you the truth. I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to show you the way to the Father. And when you start seeing the way to the Father and you realize that the way to the Father is really real, it's really good, and that the more you learn my ways, the closer you get to him, right? So you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying tonight. You just keep on sinning and do whatever you want to. You're going to go to, because if you want to live like that, then I'm going to tell you something. There's something wrong with your salvation experience. I'm not saying, I don't know, but if you have this thing, this no fear zone of sinning, and when you sin, it, you just don't feel like it hindered your fellowship with God. You just keep on, oh yeah, God, I still love you. Thanks for that fornication last night. Thanks for those drugs I had. Thanks for that getting drunk last night, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, it was awesome. And just think your fellowship with God just goes on. Well, you know, I mean, then there's no conviction inside of us. And when there's no conviction inside you, conviction isn't, oh, you sin the wrong sin, you're going to go to hell now. No, once you're born again, you have communion with the Holy Ghost. And when you have communion with the Holy Ghost, friend, he convicts you of sin. You can't do that just lightly and live in that. You can't do it. You may fornicate, you may have committed adultery, but you can't live with yourself. Oh, no, you can't. I don't care what you say. You may decide that you don't need your husband, you don't need your wife, you want to get a new wife or a new husband. Because, you know, you feel like God's telling you this and God's telling you that. And it may be a bunch of horse hockey, but, you know, you convince yourself into it. You know, you can do that. People do all kinds of things. You know, I've convinced myself into all kinds of stuff. And you know, the Lord is forgiving, and he works with us and where we're at and what's going on. And he will, you know, take our life that we mess up and make it new and make it good. And so there's all kinds of things that God does. But to live without conviction, And knowing that in the earth, what keeps me right with God isn't that getting saved every time I mess up. You don't get born again 100 times. It's just like in the physical realm, just like in the realm that God made. Like Jesus used parables. I use the parable in this sense. Once you're conceived in your mother's womb by your mother and father, or two people, a man and a woman, and that seed is put in that woman, that woman gets pregnant, you know, and you're created. You know, you can see, friend, you can never, that's why Nicodemus is like going, Jesus, what now? You can be born, you mean, go back into your mother's womb. I mean, he really didn't get it. He wasn't playing, he wasn't acting, because he had too much probably spiritual wisdom and understanding to say something stupid, and that would be recorded about him forever and ever, right, in the Word of God. He wouldn't say something stupid. Oh, dude. He really meant that. He really meant, you know, you mean to go back in my mother's womb? Like Jesus was so stupid. Jesus was so something, whatever it was, and they thought he was a man of God. They knew he was a man of God. That's what the scripture says in 1 John and John 3, that Jesus was, Nicodemus was convinced that he said, we, whoever we was, I don't know, we's more than one. We know you're a man of God, because nobody can do these signs and wonders unless he's a man of God. Nobody can do that stuff. So he was like going, and you, oh, okay, Jesus, what do you mean? because he didn't even comprehend that, friend. You know why? This is typical of me and others who just only understand that going to heaven is about forgiveness of sin, and it is not. It has nothing to do with it. Being born again is what gets you to heaven, period. Right? If you're a heathen and you say, God, forgive me for getting drunk last night, and you think you're going to go to heaven because you said, God, forgive me for getting drunk last night, you know, I don't know if God forgives them or not. I don't know, honest to God. But, you know, but they're not saved. That's not about salvation. Oh, my preacher told me back when I was a little boy, if I just said, oh, God, forgive me for that drinking that I did last night, hey, you're going to be fine. Okay, well, fine with what? I don't know. Maybe it works for something. I'm not sure. But it didn't work with God because you got to be born again. Forgiveness is the part of forgiveness, like the day that God cleansed me in his blood, when I got born again, I don't know what your experience was. I know what mine was. And now that I look at it, I see it's very biblical. But I never said, you know, God, I hadn't had some preacher holding my hand, telling me to say this and say that and get forgiveness of sin. God, forgive me. You know, like I've led many people in a sinner's prayer. I never prayed that prayer as far as to get saved, get born again. Right? So I look back at that, I'm going like, okay, so I never did ask for forgiveness until later on. And yet I was as born again as you could get. I mean, I was in love with Jesus. God loved me. I mean, it was so real. It was amazing. Right? Some of you maybe had the same kind of experience. So we got to get this right, friend, because, you know, here's what I was going to say about being cleansed. The doctrines that we believe, like some people believe you do three sins, the wrong kind of sins, you're going to go to hell even though you're born again, which is a lie from hell. A lie from hell. I used to believe it. I wasn't about three sins, but I knew that. I don't know how many sins it took exactly, and no, everybody's guessing. Nobody really knows. We know blasphemy doesn't for sure. But, you know, when you're born again, you're not going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit because you know him. How can you blaspheme the Holy Spirit when you're born again? You will not do that. You cannot do that. You can't do it because you know what? And you know he's real. You know you're not going to blaspheme him. The only people that can blaspheme the Holy Spirit are people who are maybe religious, very religious, or have religious teaching and had religious experiences, and then they blaspheme God. You know, and blaspheme is a whole different teaching. It's not what most people think it is anyway, but it is, anyway, so I don't want to go there right now, but, I want to really focus on this because if you have the wrong doctrine of thinking after three certain sins, even if you're born again and you're a Christian, after three sins, that you've committed, you know, if you died of those three sins, you're going to go to hell. So if you believe that kind of stuff, you're living in fear. So, you know, like many people I know, many people have believed that every time they sin, they get born again. Or certain sins they sin, they get born again. I don't know how that all got put together, but I don't know who did that. But, my God, that's just absolutely crazy in my opinion. Because, you know, and so what I'm saying is that false doctrine causes people to live in fear. So what are we getting cleansed of when we get our doctrine right? Fear. And the doors that open up us to fear that every time, you know, I believe in the fear and reverence for awe of God, which will keep you from sinning. But you have to be born again to have that. You can have a fear of God, a fear of death and a fear of God, and be afraid of God. But that's not the fear and reverence for awe of God. And most people don't know the difference between those two because they mix them together. Right? Yeah. So false teachings and things that are taught to us, in fact, a lot of things that were taught to me by very good people, by very wonderful people, by very good, godly Christian people, you know, just happened to be wrong because the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Randy, you know, that's not right. Those are lies. And they keep people in fear. And so God is wanting to cleanse us and wash us of things that get us messed up. You know, that's why Jesus said to a person who understood forgiveness of sin at the top of the line, he taught about it. Nicodemus was one of the greatest teachers in Israel. And what did the priests back then teach about? They didn't teach about being born again, obviously, because Nicodemus goes, duh, what does that mean, Jesus? You got to go back in your mama's womb again? the thought of that's kind of creepy. You know, wonderful creepy, but, you know, yeah, your mama, but my God, who wants to go back up in there, you know, in the womb? And you know, be, like, that's just, like, it doesn't make any sense. The fact that he even said that makes me just think, you know, how much people really do not understand what the difference between forgiveness of sin and being born again. When the Holy Spirit draws you, I don't think you have to. When the Holy Spirit was drawing me, I didn't say one thing about forgiveness of sin. And I was born again, you know, and immediately received the Holy Spirit, got baptized in the Spirit later, but received the Holy Spirit, was born again, cleansed of my sins, and have fellowship with God, talking with God, loving God. God was loving me. Man, it was awesome. The fellowship was amazing. And yet there was no sin talked about anything. Did I know I was a sinner, basically overall, as a heathen does? Yes, of course I did. But I don't remember saying one word about, God, forgive me my sins. I've been a bad boy. I'd been a really bad boy. But that had nothing to do with my salvation experience. Why we base all that? I'm not under the law. I'm not bringing me a calf and a bull and saying, every time I do it, here's some more blood, you know, keep me in heaven. Now, the blood don't keep you in heaven. The blood keeps heaven coming to you in the earth. The blood does the, we come to God by the blood, but once you get born again, friend, you don't come by the blood anymore. You get forgiveness of sin by the blood. You get washed of your sins by the blood of Jesus after you get born again. But being born again, once your spirit man is born again, you are seated at the right hand of the Father. And the blood has nothing to do with your born-again experience once you're born again. Once you're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ, you've been recreated. So you don't need the blood to go to the Father in that sense. Now, when you ask forgiveness of sin, you know, in your soul, in your mind, when you do something wrong and you sin, then, yes, you come, of course, by the blood of Jesus, because the blood helps you live your life and stay forgiven with God in the earth, just like what it did with under the law, with the Israelites. That's what that was all about. One of the things that was all about was forgiveness of sin, not about going to heaven. It was about living their life on the earth with God on the earth. And then when Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a great teacher of all that stuff, didn't even have a clue what he was talking about. What? Born again? Well, no, we're talking about you forgiveness of sin. That's what, no, Jesus goes, huh? You're a teacher of the law. You don't understand this stuff? And he didn't understand it. Yeah, so are you saying the blood's not important anymore? Are you kidding me? Man, without the blood, you can't be forgiven of sin. That's how you get forgiven. But your spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places. He doesn't need the blood as far as, because it's your soul and your body and the sins in your soulish realm that need to be forgiven and cleansed by the blood. Your spirit man is recreated and is seated with Christ in heavenly places. He's not standing around gawking, going, oh, well, I don't know how I'm going to be here, but I hope I'm going to be here for a while. Unless my body sins a few sins, then I guess I have to go back and get born again. No. There's people that have taught that, and I've seen good friends of mine who believe that stuff over the years, many, many years. So it's God wants to help us understand this stuff so that we don't have open the door for fear over unnecessary things. Because fear keeps you from growing in Christ. Fear and doctrines that put us in those states of mind keep us in the realm of, you know, oh, my God, if I sin, I'm going to go to hell. If I sin, no, hell is done, been dealt with, friend. When you got born again, that's what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. Hell gets dealt with when you get born again. The only reason you go to hell is because you are not born again. There's no other reason why you go to hell. The only reason you don't go to hell and you go to heaven is because you got born again. Okay, people say, oh, yeah, I got that. I don't think most people really got it. I think a lot of people do. But I think most people really don't have that, just like Nicodemus didn't have. All right, there you go. All right. So we're talking about all kinds of things tonight. And we're going to take callers. Good to be with you tonight. So glad you're here. And All right, so raise your hand up tonight. We've got a couple of people with their hand up. If you want prayer tonight, or you want ministry, or you want to talk or visit, or maybe you don't agree with what I'm saying, and you want to share about it, you can do that. I know everybody doesn't agree with me on everything. Of course they don't. Okay. Yeah, that's right. We got Martine here tonight. Let's give me your number, Martine. Let's call you right now. Let's do that and get that done. Yeah, I think I got it right here. 781. Thank you. 781. Okay, so you can hear me. Okay. So I'm gonna call you. Are you ready to be called, talked to? 781, right? 775-2619.
All right. Hello?
There we go. We got it. How about that?
Hey, it worked. Hallelujah.
It does work. Yes, it does. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you know what? Last night I kept seeing you on there, and I get distracted. I get wild and crazy, right? So I just kind of like go all over the place. And sometimes I know you don't think this, but some of the people, I think people think I get mad. I'm mad at them for some reason because I don't think they're called. But no, I just get wrapped up in what I'm doing, and I go, and, you know, I just get messed up. But thank you for being patient, and as always, and thank you for being with us tonight. Let's mute you. I'm going to mute you just for a second, and let's pray for you, Martine. Martine from California. All right, hang on just a second here while I... All right, Martine. Thank you, Martine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the windows of heaven. God, I thank you for that you open up the windows of heaven and blessing her, God, that, you know, the scriptures that talk about the windows of heaven. Let me see if I can find some of those. Open up. All right, I'm going to try to find a scripture with that. If I don't, I'm just going to go ahead and go on anyway. But okay, here's one in Malachi 3. If I can read it, okay. Bring all the tithes into the this is about the tithe. I love this. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that you may be that there may be meat in my house, and put me to the test, put to proof. Now hereby saith the Lord, and I will not open to you the windows of heaven. Wow, I forgot about that cool windows of heaven one. I like that one. The windows of that I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Martine, you're going to start making some room. Yeah. Very interesting. So I just Googled windows of heaven and opened up the one about tithing. I love that. It's pretty cool. All right, let's see if there's some other ones here maybe we can find. I really like that one. It's really cool. I know there's a whole lot of scriptures that talk about the eyes, the windows of the soul, but windows of heaven. Okay, let's go here and look at this. I'm just interested. I hear something I get interested in. Genesis 7:11. Okay. Genesis 7:11. In addition, the windows of heaven were opened, of rain poured from the sky. Right. The language is poetic, but it is also parallels God's work on the earth. Awesome. 7-Eleven. I love that. Okay, I'm just sometimes I get blessed by the words that come out of my mouth. You know, the Lord speak to me. That windows of heaven were open. That's when the flood, that's when God opened up the windows of heaven and began to pour out rain on the earth, right? Yeah, very cool. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, so I saw some windows being opened up for you. You know, that could be a lot of different things, but I'm waiting for the Lord to show me more. But windows of heaven, windows of heaven, King James Version. Let's go here so we can find some more. Malachi 3, Genesis 8, fountains of the deep, and the windows of heaven. Basically, I think that's it on the windows. Okay. Isaiah 24, I'm just going to read the windows. I'm just going to read these to you. Then it will be that he who flees the report of the disaster will fall into the pit. He who climbs out of the pit will be caught in the snare, for the windows above are open and the fountains of the earth shake. 2 Kings 7:2, the royal officer is on his hand. The king was leaning, answered the man of God, and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, behold, you will see it with our eyes, and you will not eat of it. Huh. Interesting. Okay, I'm just kind of caught up into that word for a second. Windows of heaven thing. Sometimes I really get that. Cool. All right. So God's opening up some opportunities. I know windows mean opportunities. So some opportunity is being opened up before you. And to let in the light. Light is like, you know, provision of warmth and, you know, comfort and, you know, things going well. You know, in other words, things going well. And opportunities opening up. And it's God that's doing it. So really, really cool. So, Lord, just thank you for Martine. We thank you for opening up the windows for her and those opportunities that you have for Jesus to go the places that you want her to go, the ability to move out and to walk out of, be able to step out of things and into the step out of. You see, sometimes you can't step. Here it is, Martine. Okay, I'm getting this now. Sometimes God does, when he opens up a window or an opportunity, it kind of represents, in this particular case, it is the ability to, like when Israel came out of Egypt and then they move out of something, you can't really step into something new, right, Martine, until you step, with God at least, until you step out of something old. So the old things pass away, behold, a new thing begins. And, yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, for that and open that up for her. In the name of the Lord, and let it be done. Yeah. All right. So let's open the window of her phone again and see what's going on. All right, Martine, a little bit of a word there, I guess, but what's up? How are
you? Nothing much. You know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I find myself listening to the show and wanting to chime in so much. That's why I've been reaching out to you. Because I listen to the conversations and I just want to chime in. I'm like, you know, such good stuff, you know. Especially yesterday, a lot of the things that people were saying, you know.
Okay.
And so that's what it causes me. And I hate, you know, when you can't do something, you want to do it even more. So the fact that I can, you know, get in the queue,
yeah.
You know, I was like, I want to get in that queue, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I think about it, I could because very seldom do we use that for calling people. I could just you know, you could just remind me to get you in there, and I could get you in. That way, if you want to chime in, you could chime in. I could call your phone number, and you could that'd be good.
That's what I thought. You know, as far as what you were saying earlier about being offended, you know, I could see maybe some people feeling like that, but. You know, I've been reaching out to you for so many years. I know how you roll. But it was for me, it was more on the line of, he forgot me. He just forgot me. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just not
exactly.
In the queue because I heard you say a couple of times, oh, I'm going down the line. So I'm like, but I'm up too, you know. But it, because
yeah.
I wasn't in the queue, you're so used to doing it
yeah.
that way. It would be, and
exactly,
you're
yeah.
in the flow. So you're not even, it's,
yeah.
the last thing you're thinking about is text. And that's why I was like, oh, he forgot about me. And then the blog talk ends. I don't know if you know this, but it shuts off right in the middle of the show at 10 o'clock. Like you're still ministering and it just, it's gone.
Well, that's 12 o'clock your time. Yeah, that's midnight. I mean, that's midnight my time, right? Because you're 2 hours
right.
different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
So you're saying 10 o'clock, but you really – my time, you're saying 12. Yes, at 12 o'clock, what happens is if you're not into the show by phone, yeah, it does. It shuts off because the show.
Mm-hmm.
When I set up a show, everybody sets up a show. You can only set it up for 3 hours for 180 minutes, and then when that 180 minutes is over, even though they give you another hour, but they give you a warning. There's like when 3 hours is over with. It's you can hear it on your phone. When I can hear it, you guys can hear it, but it says you have 60 seconds and your show is ending in 60 seconds. So it gives you a countdown, and then after the last countdown, after 3 hours, it shuts it off to people who are not in on the line. And therefore you can't hear because of that. Yeah, so if you're not into the phone line before 10 o'clock your time, 12 o'clock my time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does shut you off, yeah.
I remember back in the day, like when I first started calling the show, like a long time ago, I used to hear that. I used to hear it say, you know,
oh.
90 seconds, you know, like
oh.
the woman's voice.
Okay.
Yeah, I used
right,
to hear
right.
it, but now I don't hear it.
I wonder if that was because it went into my microphone maybe, you know, when I
Not
was
sure.
– cause, went from my earpiece.
But this was a long time ago, Pastor Randy, like way back.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, things have changed. And, you know, in fact, I don't even remember back in those days. I make it sound like, oh, back in older days. But I think back in those days, you didn't even do 3 hours. I think you were doing 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like less time.
Remember.
It was like it probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I couldn't last very long back
then.
I guess when you get older,
no.
I guess when you get older, you can go further. I'm not sure it is, but yeah, I don't
know.
I think
used
that
to, remember you used uh-huh. to used to not even preach back then. I remember you used to just go right into the prophetic, like you just go right up in there, and then as time went on, you would start
oh.
to preach, and the you know for about 30-45 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
Yeah. And I used to just preach. I used to make sure that I just preached for 30 minutes and then went right into ministry after that. But then I, even though we're going 3 to 4 hours now, you know, sometimes I've got so much I want to share, you know, and there's so many things that I have that I want to get out, you know, 4 nights a week is not enough. And, you know, 30 minutes is not enough. So I'm going, God, maybe I should do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, do everybody else do their shows. And then I do a show too, maybe. But
mm-hmm.
I just can't seem to find the energy to do that. So anyway, yeah, that's
yeah,
weird.
A lot of work.
Yeah, it they say ministry is 2 hours of preaching is like 8 hours of work. That's what they say. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've had a lot of people tell me that they get on this, they get on shows or preach or teach or talk. I have somebody in my family started doing some internet stuff. And talking, and they said, hey, you know what, man, I did not realize I'd be exhausted like the rest of the night. I couldn't even hardly, you know, and I just went on for like 30 minutes. How do you do it for 4 hours? I said, you just get used to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think partly it's that it's your calling. So when you're doing something that God calls you to do, he'll impart that energy for you. But then I think also, like you said, it's like flexing a muscle. We're going to the gym. You start off and you're sore
yeah.
and you're jacked up. And then as time goes on,
right.
you're able to do, you know, longer and longer. So I think you've been doing it for so long, for so many years, that you flex that muscle
yeah.
already.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, it's funny. I was talking with somebody about that today, because lately I'm in Dallas this week, but the last couple of months I've been, you know, working for one of my loved ones, or working with one of my loved ones at their house because they had some major issues with their house, and they don't know how to do it, and they don't have the money to fix it. So, you know, I go down there and helping them. And I'm working all day long and hard. I work hard. I love to work. I love working. I love fixing things. You know, I love that stuff. So I'm loving working all day long. And then I get on the show, and I'm like going, woo, I forgot what this was like, you know. And by 2 hours, I'm like sitting there going, dig, you know, like, so, but like you said, I told this friend of mine today, I said, you know, that's what's been happening to me. I'm working all day now and, you know, the last few months. And lately I've been gaining strength, like that muscle's getting bigger where I can do that a little bit more and still work during the day and then go get on the show and do a show for 3 or 4 hours. You know, and but at the first couple of months, it was like a sore muscle. I'm going, man, this is wearing me out. I'm like, wore out. I couldn't hardly talk. I'm losing my voice, and you know. But now it's gotten a little bit better.
Absolutely, and you used to do construction too, right?
Oh yeah.
So yes. You're kind of used to that too, like then, right?
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would work. I would work during the day, and then I've done that almost all my life. You know, I would, you know, do construction work during the day, and then go if I was either had a church or I went to a church. You know, it's just a, you know, go to, as a sheep, and I would always, you know, do, you know, Bible studies, and if they would ask me to do them, I'd do them. And do Sunday school classes and do children's classes. And I did all that stuff and worked, you know, had my own business. So I guess I've kind of always done that. I don't know. But like you said, you know, you can quit working out at the gym for a couple of months, maybe a few months, and then you go back to the gym. It's kind of like starting over almost. You know, you start getting sore again. And it's the same thing with this. It's like, so, yeah, I'm finding out that that we can do more. But just at first, like you said, in the physical realm, your muscles get sore. You know, with me, it's my mind gets sore or I get wore out. But after a while, I start getting used to it a little bit more, and it's pretty cool.
That sounds great. And I'm glad you're able to multitask that way, you know, because it would be sad if you couldn't do the show, right?
I would never not do the show. Right. I would never. That's first in my life. I mean, the ministry is first in my life. I'm called to ministry. I'm called to, you know, we do the prophet thing. That's first of all. I mean, if I couldn't do, if working stopped me from doing this, I would not be working. I'm not working to make money. I'm working, you know, I don't work for a living. I work because people need my help. My family needed my help. This one member of my family needs some help. So I'm just helping them. And when I got down there, it was so much more than we thought, you know, just a lot of stuff. And, you know, I got excited and I said, man, this is kind of fun. You know, I'll be with you. I was going to be down there for like a week, you know, and then come back and do my regular thing. And I said, you know what, I'm going to stay down here with you until we get this thing done. And so we ended up just, you know, amazing amount of things needed to be done. So, and I could do all of it. So I thought, why not, you know? And I'm just giving it,
that's
loving
awesome.
It. I'm having fun. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Get and you're sowing into someone's life. There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm getting a plant in somebody else's life. Yeah. So I'm doing double planting right now. Yeah.
Right. And you'll reap that harvest too. Even though I know you're not looking for it, it'll come.
Oh, I'm looking for it. I do look for it. But I look for it. Hey, Martine, that's a good point because people say you shouldn't look for your blessing. Why not? When you plant a seed out in the front yard, do you look for it to grow up and bring you something? Yeah. But when you do something, when I do something for a particular person, I don't look for my harvest from them. I look for my harvest from God.
Right. That's kind of what I meant when I said that. I meant,
I know,
like,
you did. Yeah.
You're not doing it like with motives, like, okay, God, you better bless me, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
More in the lines of, you know, that's the way the word works. And you're not doing it because, you know what I mean? You're not doing it out of selfish motives. You're doing it out of the love of your heart. And then God sees that and will bless you.
Right. And that's exactly what you meant. I knew what you meant by that. And so, but the thing is, you know, Martine, people get that mixed up. So I'm glad you said that. They think that that we don't expect from God. But the Bible said, even the Bible says, you know, test me and try me and see if I won't pour out a blessing for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which is
I think
the scripture
I
just
read that
you just
read to
me. Oh, no. Right,
my gosh,
right.
It sure is.
We're
yeah,
on point.
So that's really cool. Yeah, we are. We are. We're on point. So we do expect, but we don't tell God how to bless us. You know, the thing that will
mm-hmm.
let God bless us, if we do it unto the Lord, do everything as unto the Lord, you know, lay not treasures on earth, but lay it in heaven, do it unto the Lord, then when he blesses you back, he blesses you the way you need it instead of the things that you don't need. You know, there's things that we think we need. We may need them later. We may get them later, but he builds from the foundation up. He doesn't just start throwing stuff at you like, hey, man, here you go. Hey, this is what you wanted. That's what you wanted. Because sometimes we don't really know what we need
in the
order that God knows that we need it. So he brings it. He blesses us back in the order that we need. We'll say, God, I need some money right now. He says, nah, what you need is, you know, something else, you know. And so later he'll bring the money, but first he does other things because he blesses us back in the way that he knows will make it, our blessings last forever. And they're not
mm-hmm.
just on the surface. Because like you said, you're doing it, you know, selfishly. Like, I'm doing this, God, so you better bless me. You know, I knew that's what you meant, and you're right. But, yeah, so... But that makes sense.
But
they
you're
think
right. There are some people who believe that. They'll think that it's wrong for them to accept or expect God to bless them. I'm not one of them. I used to be that person where I'm like, ooh, maybe that just means my heart ain't right. But not anymore. I'm like, the blessings of Abraham are mine. Bring it. Bring it, Lord. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And in fact, the Lord's Prayer, I've been talking about the Lord's Prayer a little bit, where it says, you know, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, what is that? That means there's no lack in heaven. So what are we saying? We're saying, God, you know, bless me. You know, there's no lack in heaven. So I don't want any lack in the earth.
Right.
You know, that's basically what that's saying. So you are saying, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life or in earth as it is in heaven, which there's no lack. There's nobody sick. There's nobody, you know, so let that be done. And then the next thing is give us this day our daily bread. So you're asking right away for prayer for something.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, oh, I don't want anything. Then you better quit praying the Lord's Prayer then.
I do.
Stop that.
I want it. I want that. I want it all. I want everything that God has for me. I do.
Yeah.
I certainly do. And so I do. I ask for it, you know, and I just receive it. And if you think about it, you know, all of the, you know, like I mentioned, Abraham, Moses, all of them, they had what they needed. I don't remember ever reading that they didn't have food. They didn't have cattle and livestock. They had, you know, that was their currency back then or whatever. And they had it all, and they grew, and they grew. Jacob grew and grew. No matter what he did, the livestock grew. You know, no matter how
many
obstacles came his way, he prospered. And so why can't we?
Exactly. And it's like you said in a while ago, you know, you said, Randy, you don't do it to get the blessing. In other words, you know, you don't demand it or you're not doing it. I'm not just laboring to get blessed. I'm not laboring just to get things. I'm laboring to get blessed by God, you know, but I'm not laboring just to get things. I'm not laying up my treasures on earth, but I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Whatever I do it, I give it as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you know, God's going to bless you, man. I mean, that's the Bible says it's full of, if you obey, now watch this, but some people say, oh, I don't obey God to get blessed. No, I don't. No, I really don't. Well, I know what they mean sometimes, but here's what it says. From the Old Testament to the New Testament says, if you obey my command and listen to my voice and do what I say, all these blessings are going to come to you. And your house is going to be blessed. Your fields are going to be blessed. Your crops are going to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Your family is going to be blessed. You're going to have cattle and sheep and all this stuff. Oh, but, you know,
if you don't,
we can be really dumb.
If you don't seek me with your heart, then remove all of the idols and all of that stuff, then this is going to happen. But if you do, all of these things are going to happen. I'm going to bless your womb. I'm going to bless this your family. I'm going to bless your livestock. I'm going to bless. And he just goes on and on about how much he's going to give to us, you know, and I hold on to that, you know, because there's no way I want, when I see Jesus, I want to be able to leave a legacy to my children. You know, I don't want to be, can we go on, what do you call it? The one where they save up money, GoFundMe to get money to pay for a funeral or do a car wash. So that's very popular in California. I'm not dogging anybody. If it is, it is, you know, see that a lot. People want to do a car wash because they have no money to bury their family member. No, I don't want to be that person. I want to be able to leave something behind in my children, and they're not like trying to scramble to figure out how they're going to take care of things after I go. Nope, I don't think so. So,
that's really good. It's our motives. Like you said from the very beginning, you said that I didn't do it, you know, to get blessed by the Lord. You're talking about motivation, you know, and if everything we do for God is to get things, then, you know, we're not serving God anyway, because if you serve mammon and money, that's really what you're doing. You're asking the God of a mammon to bless you. Really, what you end up doing is asking the God of mammon to bless you, because you're doing everything for something instead of, you know, giving it unto the Lord and believing God, you know, to like obeying his voice and doing what he tells you to do. And he promises you, this is what I'm going to do for you. So are we going to reject that? I think a lot of people subconsciously reject it. I think they're rejecting the blessings because they're, you know, they really believe that in their mind that, I'm not doing it for the blessings. I'm not doing it for the blessings. I'm not expecting God to bless me, you know. And I think that we need to get that straight, because it opens up the door for, you know, the enemy to come in and rob us and say, yeah, you know, God's really blessing me. I'm not getting anything just like I asked for. He's really blessing me. Yeah. I'm getting nothing just like I said.
Right. Yeah, it's so true. You know, if you really think about it, God says the root of, he wants us to love. Above all things, we need to have love. And when you help someone, when you help your family and you give of your time, you're not asking them to pay you, you know, money and do all of this. And they're doing it sacrificially. It's based out of love, and this is what God wants us to do. So when he sees that love, which is you're being obedient because you're walking in love, then he will bless you. And like you said, why? Why would someone, what do they say, look a gift horse in the mouth or whatever? Why would you know that God wants us to give us good things? He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and then say, well, I don't want it. I'm not that person.
Yeah.
I want it.
I want it. We want it all.
Right? Like Christmas. And, you know, you're not going to refuse a gift. It's thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm going to open it up.
Yeah. What an insult it would be to tell your mama or your friend or whatever, or your boss, or maybe somebody you work or your friend, saying, I really don't want that, you know. They're going like, you don't understand.
Right.
I want to bless you. I want to give something to you. I'm not really interested in blessings, you know. It's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a religious spirit, I think, that has kind of gotten on all of us at times in our life,
mm-hmm.
and tried to get us to believe wrong so that he can, you know, make us poor just like we asked for. And Satan, really, the enemy, actually doing it. And we're thinking we're poor because we're so spiritual, you know.
Right.
And I don't know, it's crazy, but
yeah, I'll pass.
But yeah, I'm expecting big blessings. I'm doing one of the things I've because I'm called to the ministry and I know how to do those. I haven't done them in a long time. I haven't done remodeling or fixing up things or just go through the house from one end to the other, fixing everything. I mean their hot water heater wasn't working. Their heating and air conditioning wasn't working. When the freeze came, it did a lot of damage. And, you know, the ceiling in the entry room where the dining room is, somebody had gotten up in there and done some work, and they kind of broke loose the sheetrock just a little bit, you know, and about 8 or 10 feet long. And three sheets of sheetrock completely fell out of the ceiling, just fell. you know,
no.
And there's, and the insulation was all over the places. It was that spraying insulation. It was a mess. And I mean, and they got sick, that got hit with COVID. I mean, girl, it was like horrible. And I said, why didn't you say, because I didn't want to complain to anybody, you know, I didn't want to, you know, I said, man, I'm so glad that I came down here to see you and saw this because, you know.
Oh, so
I said,
that's what happened? You wouldn't have never known if you hadn't come to visit them?
I would have never known. They said come. They had had some trouble with some of the family members, you know, and so they weren't going to have family Thanksgiving with anybody. They were kind of by themselves. They kind of painted themselves in a corner, to so to speak. And, you know, being, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I said, yeah, I'll come down there with you. You know, I can spend my Thanksgiving with you. You and I can just have Thanksgiving, you know. Everybody in the family's mad at you. Okay, I'm not mad at you. I love you. You know, so I go down there and spend Thanksgiving. And they said, and so I started seeing all the stuff. I'm going, oh, my gosh, what, you don't have no heating and air conditioning? You have no hot water? You had, I mean, the big hole in the ceiling. I mean, it was like a, like two and a half pieces, full sheets of sheetrock had fallen down.
Wow.
Out of the and right there in the dining room, right next to the kitchen and living room. I go, my gosh! I mean, they just got so down emotionally and mentally that they were thinking about suicide. I mean, nothing real serious, but.
Oh my God! Thank you so much.
How bad
I'm so thankful to God that you visited.
Yeah. Me too. It was a God appointment, and so they said, well, you know, don't you need money? I said, yeah, of course I need money, but you know what? I want to do this for you because I just want to do it for you because I love doing it. And I said, you know, and so we just started doing stuff, and pretty soon one thing then the other, and pretty soon they started coming out of that stuff and started laughing, and I mean they were so depressed, so down. They could not even, you know, smile about anything. And I can be pretty goofy sometimes. And I love to have fun. And I love to play with people and have fun with them. And, I mean, before I know it, we were gut-busting, belly-flopping, laughing. I mean, and I'm going like, you know, it was so much fun, Martine. And I said, God, you are really blessing me down here. This is such a blessing. And I said, if you even think about thinking you're going to pay me at any time ever, I will disown you because you know what you do? If you rob the fun that I have in this is that I'm doing it because I want to do it. I don't want to get paid for it. I could get paid for it if I wanted to. I'd go down the street and get a job if I wanted to. I'm not here for that. I want to do it because I want to do it. And it's hard for people to receive that sometimes, you know, and I have to keep telling them over and over and over again, you know, I love doing this. This is not a burden to me. I enjoy this. Don't start feeling like, you know, it's such a burden for you. You're such a giving person. I said, nah, I'm not really a giving person. I'm just having fun. I just like doing this stuff. And I really enjoy it. And so, and doing it for somebody who needs it, especially. So it just became a seed for me. I realized God had set me up, you know, in a beautiful way to plant, you know, some wonderful seed. And even though it's family, but this family, this part of my family does not really believe in God. You know, they're very, you know, don't really believe in God, you know, as far as like I do. And so I just, you know, I talk to them about Jesus, not in a get saved thing, but I talk about the Lord. I talk to the Lord right in front of them. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I know you're going to help me get the sheetrock up there. And I know you're going to help me get that. I know you have it. And I talk to the Lord all the time. And they just look at me like, after a while they get used to it. They go, yeah, help him, Jesus. He needs help. And we laugh, you know. So the fun thing, just having fun and giving and loving. I mean, girl, it has just been such a blessing for me. I want to weep when I think about it. I got to stop talking about it because it's been such a blessing. I mean, from God, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just like we were talking about earlier, and God wanting to give us gifts, give us blessings. You know, and again, that love that's inside of you, that is God, is kind of doing the same thing that God wants to do for us. He takes, again, he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You're taking pleasure in them getting that joy, and it's filling your heart with joy. It's like a reciprocal blessing. So they're getting
that's
blessed
good.
By you, and you're getting blessed by them. you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And the good thing about it is not only are you getting blessed internally with what you're feeling right now, but he's still going to bless you because he sees that you are being obedient.
Yeah.
So you're going to get double.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, girl, that's exactly what God's been telling me, you know, and I didn't go down there for that, and I didn't, and you know, just like you said, you know, you were kind of saying you're not really doing it for that, and I didn't do it for that. I'm not doing it for, you know, to force God to give me something because I'm doing something for him. You know, I just, that's the thing that we try to talk about to people all the time. Let's get out of the law, out of the legalism thing, you know, and start knowing that God, because God loves helping us. When you love helping him through helping people and you love it instead of obligating them and making them feel bad, like you're going to owe me for this. And you know, well, you're going to, God doesn't do that to us. He's such a free giver, such a loving, no strings attached giver. How can you not love somebody like that? You know? And the Lord started showing me, Martine, he said, just like you said, you're prophesying to me because that's exactly what I've been hearing from the Lord. He said, Randy, I drew you into this situation because I did not have a clue, Martine. God is my witness. I did not have, and they knew I didn't have a clue. They said to me, so I didn't really mean for you, you know, I didn't, you know, they thought I'd just help them get the sheetrock put up, you know, and while I'm there having turkey, which they knew that I would love to do that, you know. And I did that, and I said, man, I started looking around, I started seeing all this stuff. I said, you know what, I know how to fix all this stuff. And you guys, this is so messed up, man. The Lord says, yeah, I just opened up a door, a treasure. Now watch the treasure. I just opened up a treasure for you, Randy. And that's what God started speaking to me, you know. And so even though it's a loved one, and I'm not for getting blessed by doing things unto the Lord for loved ones, because if you do just do everything for your loved ones, you know, then what good are you? You know, you need to do it for people, lost people you don't know, you know, people that can't give back to you, that kind of thing. And so, but the Lord just says, I set this up, Randy. You didn't set this up. You didn't have a clue, but I did. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you really good from this. Yeah, that's what he told me. Plain as day. So you think I'm not loving it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just
right?
Like going, that even gave me more joy.
Huh. Absolutely. I heard this pastor that was talking about that very thing, that when God wants to bless you, he will deliberately present opportunities. And like you said, people who can't pay you back. Not people who are rich and have things. No, no, no. The people who really, you know, deep down cannot pay you back. And you bless them. He will open those doors for you to bless other people. And then, and it's a deliberate thing because he wants to bless you in, out of obedience.
Yeah.
Once you're obedient, which you were, that he will bless you. And that a lot of times if we ask God for something, oh, Lord, can I have whatever? I want a new house or I need a new car. That God will say, okay, I will open up opportunities for you to give of yourself so I can bless you. And I thought that was an interesting concept, you know. And he said, look around because you'll find those opportunities you may not even know. And you might poo-poo on them and say, I'm not going to do that. That person, that homeless person down the road, I see them every day, but never mind. And that could be the opportunity that God has for you to bless you, you know. So, I don't know. I thought that was very interesting.
That's really good, yeah. And it's like the window things. Yeah, you know, I didn't know we were going to be talking about this tonight. I didn't know I was going to be giving you a word about. When I first heard the Lord say to you, windows of heaven, I'm going like, you know, I don't have to look up a scripture. I know there's windows of heaven. I couldn't tell you what the scriptures were about it, but I know there's windows of heaven in scripture. So the Lord said, I want you to look that up. So as you notice, I stopped and I put in there, I Googled, you know, windows of heaven, scripture. And sure enough, there was, you know, Malachi. I said, oh, look, I'm reading about the tithe and the offering. This is like God giving to us. You know, and I had no clue that was going to be what that was going to be. And I go, oh, my gosh. And as you heard me say right here on the show, and it's just as raw and real as you know, I mean, spontaneous as it is. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know, this God's trying to say something. And now look at our conversation, where we've gone with this. It just tells you that what God gave me, even though I was prophesying this to you, God gave me a window, you know, a blessing. An opportunity, because that's the very thing that I was saying to you by the Lord, is that he's giving you, God's going to open up a window of opportunity for you could be a blessing, you know, some matter, whatever it is. I mean, it could have nothing to do with helping somebody. It could be just God opens up some money for you or opens up a door for you to do. I don't know what it's going to be, but I understood it as a window of opportunity. And then look at what we're talking about right now about how
that's
God
so
gave
true.
Me. And, I didn't even know. I would have never had a clue that that was – that they were in that bad of shape. I mean, they never said a word to me. Nobody knew. Nobody. You know why? Because they were ashamed. The enemy had them in such shame, Martine, that they didn't want to tell anybody how bad off that they were. And I've been the same way. I've done the same thing. And I'm going, oh my gosh! When I started, you know, when God started using me, they said, you really saved me. I mean, you don't understand. You really saved me because I was really going down a hard path. I mean, a harder path than I've ever been in. And it happened over months, periods of months. And one thing had happened, then another thing go wrong. Then another thing go wrong, nothing go wrong. Nothing go wrong, nothing. And things just started going wrong, you know, one after the other. It's like, and I saw, I said, my God, the devil's really after this person. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you for this window of opportunity to do something that you have drawn me into. So that you can, because Martine, my whole thing about the studio and the ministry, which is my first love as far as what I do in ministry, and God is you know PGN. That's my first love is the Lord. But what He has me doing in the earth realm, what He has me loving to do is PGN. It's what we do, and so I love what I do, and because God's given me a love for it. Because when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, He gives you a love for His things, and He literally gives you a love for them. And so I love what I do. I do, and that's why. And because I'm going, God, where's our studio at? What's going on with the next phase? And I mean, I struggled for a year with no studio, as you well know, probably. And then I'm going, God, you know, I need a breakthrough. I need to give. I don't know how to give. How do you want me to give? I can give money. I can give my time. What do you want me to give? Just show me what you want me to give. Because just like David said to when they came and the enemies came and robbed their camp, you know, David went to the priest and he says, you know, should I go out? Should I pursue them or not? You know, of course you should pursue them. You would think you would know that, but he asked God. He was asking God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And that's what I was doing. And in a sense, I was saying, God, you know, how do you want me to give? I know you want me to give. How do you want me to do it? And I was contemplating a big thing here and a big thing there. And like you hear preachers talking about, yeah, one time God told me to do this and give my house. One time God to give all my furniture away. God told me to do it. And it broke me off into this new realm. I was ready to do that. I was thinking, that's what I was thinking. Don't tell anybody. But that's what I was thinking. I had some things in my mind going, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to give that, whatever it is. And then, out of the blue, Martine, when this happened, I realized that God had opened up a window of opportunity for me to give in a way that the people couldn't really give back necessarily, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the situation. And I can't talk about all the ways that we've done things, but because I keep that between me and God, but it has been one of the biggest opportunities that God opened up for me that I'm expecting. Well, earlier when you said I wasn't expecting this, no, yeah, I know what you mean by that, but I'm expecting from this blessing, not from the people at all, but God to say, God, you know, I did this to you because I did this unto you because I love it because you asked me to do it. And I'm doing it because you asked me to. And I know you asked me to do something or you put it in my heart to do it. You're getting ready to bless me. One night on the show last week, I think it was last week or week before last, I started talking about, God started bringing to me about Solomon, how Solomon gave 1,000 bulls. You know, he's getting ready to build the temple. He gave 1,000 bulls is a lot of bull. That's a lot of bull. That's a lot of
That's
money.
That's a lot of bull.
A lot of wealth. It's a lot of bull, yeah. It's a lot of bull. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's a lot of bull. And so for him to do that was amazing, right? But God put it in his heart, even though he might not have said, God put this in my heart. He said, I want to give 1,000 bulls. I know it's crazy. I know it's a massive amount. I know it's extreme, but I'm going to do it. And when he did it, because God, I believe God put it in his heart to do it, an opportunity, a window of opportunity, and then he did it willingly, God says, oh, man, dude, you have really blessed my heart. Woo, 1,000 mm-hmm. bulls? That's a lot of bull. What do you want? Anyway, we don't go into bull thing, but what do you want? What do you want? When God asks you what you want, Martin, you've done something. You've done something. But when God asks you what you I usually ask the Lord what he wants me to want. You know, give me your desires, give me your wants. What do you want me to want? Because I know if I want what you want and I really want it, I'm going to get it and it's going to be blessed because it's coming from you, right? But in this case, Solomon was asked by God, you know, what do you want? And when he answered and said, you know, to be wisdom to judge your people, that was right at the very heart of God. Because he knows when his people are judged correctly, and just think about what bad judges do in the earth today. Send people to prison, right? They don't belong. They do all bad judges are really bad for a nation. They're bad for a people. It's really, really, really a bad thing. And all Israel would have bad judges. Every time they had bad judges, what happened? Israel went down the tubes, right? So Solomon knew that because he lived with his father David, and he knew that his father David, for the most part, 99% was a good judge. He was a prophet, and he was a good judge of care. He loved people. He was a good judge. He judged things, you know, out of love and righteously. And so Solomon saw that, I believe. And because he saw that, he knew that David had a heart for God, and his father had a heart for God. So he's going, God, you know, I understand why you love that, and this is what I want. Give me wisdom to judge your people. And God goes, oh, wow, man. It just... Woo, that was awesome. And God just says, like, what? You can have anything you want, boy. What do you want? And when he said that, God says, you know what? Now I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you wealth because you didn't ask for it. I'm going to give you your enemies because you didn't ask for them. I'm going to give you all the stuff. So don't, you know, like you said, like we said earlier, Martin, don't tell me God don't want to bless you, man. He's just waiting for us to get our heart right, like you said. Not wanting to get blessed for the wrong reasons, but wanting to get blessed because we're doing God's will and we want to do God's will. When you have that desire, that passion, then he will be asking you, Martin, what do you want? And I guarantee you, man, you answer it correctly and watch out. It's going to get hot. It's going to get good.
That's awesome. That's a word right there. God presented you the opportunity to bless. And so you blessed your family member out of the love and kindness of your heart and obedience, right? You know, because a lot of times giving of yourself sacrificially, it's not easy. You know, it takes a willingness, you know, and so, when you give sacrificially of yourself, out of that love, you know, you're definitely going to get blessed. And you kind of confirmed with that teaching that I heard that I was just talking about. He said the same thing when you're asking. You needed a breakthrough, and you were asking God for opportunities, and he presented that, and that's how it works, that God will open up that door. It will provide some obedience and maybe some sacrifice, but in the long run, you're going to get something way bigger, way bigger.
Yeah, way bigger. And that's what I was needing. I was needing something like with everything, with land being high and everything going up. I said, God, you know, I just can't see any way in just the natural realm of being blessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the natural realm of being blessed is awesome, right? But I just kept feeling like, you know, God, I know that what you want to do is going to take more than, you know, raising money. And although raising money, nothing wrong with raising money if you do have the right heart for it, do it and do it correctly and don't manipulate and control people and all that kind of thing. And just let people give. But I knew that I knew, Martin, that as wonderful as all that was and as of God that it was, just like with Solomon was getting ready to build. Let's just think about this. He wasn't going to build a studio, but I'm going to say studio instead of temple. He was getting ready to build the most immaculate studio that the globe had ever seen. Yeah. I mean, you talk about a show place where God, and so, and I'm not saying we're going to have that kind of a studio, though I claim it, but I know that what God has me doing, what he's had me doing, is so big.
Wow.
That what it's going to take is going to be exceeding abundantly above, which is what he promised me. He told me, Martine, when I first started PGN, he said, if you want merchandise and sell the body of Jesus, sell the word of God, sell Jesus, if you will not do that, if you will give him away for me, I will bless you.
Hallelujah.
Beyond. I'm sorry. I will bless you beyond what I've ever blessed any man. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't even see how that can be, even to this moment. So I don't understand what he meant by that exactly, except I know it was good, and I know it was amazing. And so what God does, just like with Solomon, when Solomon's building that temple, you know, David's going to build a temple, and God said, you know, you can't do it because you're a man of war. You know, you're a man of blood. You're a bloody man. And although I would love to talk about that, I don't think it's what people think it is, But here Solomon was building it, and man, this thing was like multiple billions of dollars. This wasn't just a few billion. This was like billions and billions of dollars of today's money to build what he built, where people were just in awe at the thing, you know, like, oh my God, this is amazing. No wonder they wanted to take down Israel and take the temple, because the money just in the temple was like mind-boggling. And so, anyway, so on and on it goes. But Solomon knew that what God was wanting to do in the earth was exceeding abundantly above all that anything had ever had been done. And that's what I feel like. I don't know how it's all going to manifest exactly, although I have a lot of amazing clues. But I know this is going to sound funny. But this thing of God opened up this thing, and it happened to be with my kinfolk, and I am against, I have preached against, do not do everything for your kinfolk, thinking God's going to bless you. And I know people that give their tithe to their kinfolk, and they think that it's okay. I said, that is against God. You give the tithe belongs to the storehouse, not to your children, not to your family. You want your children to get blessed? You bless God and give your tithe to God. Don't be saying, oh, I give my... because my children need it. No, you give that tithe. The Bible says that tithe belongs to the storehouse. So there's meat in my house, saith the Lord. Not in your children's house, but in God's house. And if people don't, people, and I know a lot of people that are probably listening tonight going, yeah, or you're wrong at doing that, and you want to know why your children aren't being blessed? But because of that, you have given what's holy to your children, and you wonder why they're getting messed up? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, get that right with God, and get it right with God quick, important, and then watch God bless your children. Watch God bless your children. Watch God bless your family.
I have a question for you, Pastor.
Okay.
What about giving your tithe to the needy? Is that still okay? Or?
No, it's not okay. No, it's not. Because, and I've taught on this before, but and people think that's true, but what does the scripture say? What does the Bible say? It doesn't say give to the needy. It says give your tithe belongs to the storehouse, to the house of God. It belongs to the house of God. It doesn't belong to the needy. It doesn't belong, you know, the house of God is supposed to help take care of the needy, right, as well as people are. But the word of God says your tithe. Now, an offering, yes, an offering, that's different. You're offering, that's a whole different thing. But your tithe is the first of what you get. It's the 10%. That goes strictly to the fivefold ministry of whatever sort you have, whatever part of it. It doesn't just belong to a building that they call themselves a pastor, or they call themselves a minister. If you need to ask God, is a church I'm going to, that brick building I'm going to, or whatever, is that a true man, a God called a man called by God? Because if they're not, your tithe is not going to the storehouse. It's going to a guy who's not even called of God. That needs to be called of God. And when you give your tithe to God, to God's ministers, then God's going to bless you. And then you want to give your offerings to the poor and the needy? maybe your tithe is out of $1,000. So you give $100 a month. You give $1,000 to your unto the Lord, to your church, to a five-fold ministry, a God-called church. And then you can take, you know, the rest of your money and give it all to the poor and needy if you want to. You don't have to give that to the church. Give that to the poor and needy. But the tithe always belongs to God and to the house. It's a very specific in detail to the house of God.
Okay. Okay, because that maybe that's a part of the word that you gave me today about the windows of heaven. Because it came to my mind whenever you said it, because I recently started giving my tithe to the poor. And I had always given it to the church. But recently I had been giving it to the what I would consider the needy. And so now I'm wondering if maybe that's a part of the reason I got that word from you today.
That's possible.
You know, maybe it's a correction in that I'm to not do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wonder.
Yeah.
I have to pray about that.
Yeah, because when you read the scripture, what we have to go by, what I'm kind of doing right now to a certain degree as a revelating prophet is God is showing me things about what it takes to be saved. You know, how do you get saved? Through forgiveness of sin or being born again? Through being born again. You know, however you get born again, whether you get forgiveness of sin, but the main thing is being born again. That's how you go to heaven, is being born again, not getting sins forgiven, but being born again. If the Holy Spirit does not create in you a new spirit and a new creature, then you're not a new creature. You're not connected to heaven, right? So I'm teaching on that. So is forgiveness important? Is the blood important? Absolutely. So there's a lot of things that we think and believe that God is having me to, you know, very boldly just say, I know I used to believe this too, but now I'm going to tell you what the Lord is telling me to tell you. And so the same thing with tithe and often what we do with our money. You have to go by the scripture, what the scripture says about our money. And the minute it says, nowhere does it say give your tithe to the poor and the needy. Never. Not once, not anywhere, not even a hint. Give to the poor and the needy, you know, and keep it a secret, you know, basically speaking. In other words, don't brag about it all the time, make a big deal out of it. It's not that you don't tell people, yeah, I give to the poor and needy, but you don't make a show out of it. Making a show out of it is what makes it sinful. But the tithe belongs to God's house. That's why it says, and the scripture I just read, in other ones, talks about, you know, what the tithe belongs to. It belongs to the house. And then you want to give your offerings. You know, like you say, if your tithe is $100 a month, and you give that, you have to give it to somewhere where you know there's a five-fold ministry, for a prophet, apostle, a pastor, evangelist, a teacher. If those are the ones who represent the house. Even if they don't have a church building, you know, like people can give to people on, you know, on TV or radio or whatever, or BGN or whatever, calling of God, you're giving unto the Lord by giving to them, you know, and you make sure your heart, you're giving it to God through that ministry. You get that $100, okay? Then you can take, you know, $500. I mean, you can take that, your offering money, and do whatever you want to do with it. There's nothing that says, you know, that your offerings belong to the church. You can give them to the church, to God, if you want to, or you can give them to the poor and the needy.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I hear you. That's what I'm going to have to do, because I don't want to be it did feel weird, I got to tell you. I started doing it, and I felt a little weird, like, you know. If this word that you had opened up when we our conversation with opening up the windows of heaven, or the windows of heaven being opened up, and then you read the Malachi scripture, which led to tithing, you know, it could be, you know, God saying, hey, you know, I'll open up the windows of heaven, but you need to, you know. And like I said, I've been tithing since I've been a kid, you know, going to Bible school and, you know, with a little quarter in my hand, you know, I was raised doing that. But then I started thinking, boy, you know, sometimes you're giving to the church and they already have money. you know, and so why not give to people who are hungry that tithe instead, you know? And so that's what I have been doing for the past, what, probably 4 months, have been doing that.
Okay. And you know, that I did not know that. You never told me that.
Absolutely not.
So, so tonight when that came up, I saw a window being opened up and the Lord said, windows of heaven. And then as you saw me do, which is just, because you know, I didn't know anything about this. I saw a window and the Lord said, open a window of heaven to her. And so I don't normally do it. I stopped and looked up a scripture for it. You know, you think I would know some. And the first one that came up was that one, you know, and just out of the blue, I'm going like, oh, wow, that's amazing. So, and I didn't understand it. And then we started talking about, you know, blessing. But, you know, what I'm doing to my, in this case, my kinfolk, is not my tithe. You know, my tithe, you know, my personal tithe, you know, goes to the Lord. And, you know, I'm doing this. This is just like my time. And, you know, yeah, it's taking some, I don't want to talk the details about it, but it's, it's like an offering. It's an offering, right. It's not a tithe, it's an offering. Yeah, so, and the reason that the reason God designed the tithe was so that the church would be taken care of. And, but the fact is that what the scripture says, that your tithe belongs to God and it goes to the household, to the house of God. There's also a blessing that comes with that. And that's why it says, you know, don't just give your tithe anywhere, give it to the storehouse, you know, the fivefold ministry, whatever that is, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You know, when you give to the household of God, you know, through that, God, make sure they're God-called minister. They could be really great people, really great pastors, or really, really great people who are pastoring or may not really be pastors. But if people are giving to that kind of place and they're not truly God-called, then it's not really the storehouse they're giving to. And that's what I tell people all the time. Make sure your pastor is really a God-called pastor. Because when you give your tithe, you know, make sure that they are, because that's the connection to the blessing. And so anyway, there's a lot of preachers out there that love God, that have been born again, that say, hey, man, I think I'm going to pastor a church, even though they didn't get called to pastor a church. And they're doing it and doing a great job, running it like a business, and have a good business going on. But is it God sanctified and set apart? Nope. Does God use them? Yeah. But is it blessed from God? Not really. So we got to go back to scripture, and so we're learning. We're growing. It's going to take time.
Yeah. Yeah. Trial and error sometimes, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We just, you know, like me, God's changed a lot of things with me. He's changed a lot of the things that I believe, you know. Yeah. So he's doing a real number on me, and then I share it with others, and hopefully they receive it, but whatever.
So. Yeah, my biggest thing is great. I just want to be obedient. Oh, okay, yeah, we've been on for a minute, right? Okay, so I was wondering if you wouldn't mind praying two things with me, agreeing in prayer?
Okay.
Hello? I lost you. Okay, yeah, so the first thing is, I don't know, I've been having dreams, and I remember a guy you spoke to yesterday bringing this up, and I started thinking about it. I've been having, Pastor Randy, dreams, and it's like since I've been fasting and praying, and I told you I've been fasting and praying about our family and things like that, I have been having more and more dreams, and I feel like, they're dreams that are trying to, it shows like delay, like almost like the enemy is trying to cause things to be delayed in my life. And when I say dreams, I mean back to back to back to back. Sometimes in one night I could have like four or five dreams. And there are times I wake up and I'm just, you know, exhausted. You know, and so I wanted to pray about that because I want to, make sure, just pray against whatever the enemy may be trying to aim at me. And then also peace, like dreams will be peaceful. You still there?
Right, yeah, I think that, yes, I'm here. Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah, I heard all that. You know, I was talking to Michael from Texas. I don't know if you heard that conversation. Was it last night?
Yeah.
Where
mm-hmm.
he started having dreams of, you know, going to jail and going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he, for the first time, he's really starting, you know, what I understand, he's starting to, you know, do good and do good at his job and be blessed and becoming a salesman and, you know, that kind of thing. And so I've had the same kind of dreams before. It's like the enemy comes up. The fact that you're having them over and over and over and over again like that, and they're and the way they're based sounds like to me that that's the same type of thing I was telling him, is that a lot of those things are to create that. Sometimes there are fears that we have on the inside. It's not always the devil doing it, but sometimes it's fears that we have on the inside that when we're getting ready to break through and like, oh, God, I've been dreaming for this for all my life, and now it's, now that it's starting to happen, I'm, you know, kind of start freaking out a little bit. Like, oh my God, is that? Do I really want this? You know, do I really want this to happen? Do I really want this? Is this what I really want? Now that it's here, now that I really want this. You know, and so it's a common thing for when people finally start having things happen for them that they've dreamed about, you know, for a long time. When it starts actually hitting them, they freak out. It's a common thing. It's kind of a natural thing. And it's happened to me. It's happened to everybody that I know of. And they start having, and their dream realm reveals it more than anything, that you're dealing with the fear of failure, the fear of, is this really what I want? Here it is right in front of me. And now that I'm I can grab it. Do I really want this? You know, and nothing wrong with asking God if you really want it. That's a good question. But many times, it's the fear of breaking through. It's trying to stop you from breaking on through and receiving that blessing. And I tell people all the time, the thing that hinders most people from being blessed is all truth. When their blessing faces them face to face, they're ready to run the other direction because they think that's what they want. They pray, oh God, yeah, I want that. I want to do that. And when it starts happening, you know, all kinds of things, you know, like, when you buy a car, you have that what do you call that? Where you buy a car and then you wish you hadn't bought it.
Buyer's remorse.
That car for, yeah, buyer's remorse. So it's kind of like a remorse thing trying to hit people and causes you to, you know, now that things are starting to look like they're going to happen, you know, it creates that remorse thing. You start going through a fear of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you know, last night when you were talking to the guy and you said, oh, sometimes I have dreams about, you know, people back in the day and all of this. So that's kind of what the kind of dreams I'm having. Dreams about, you know, when I used to be married to my ex. Dreams about when my children were little. Dreams about school when I was a kid. Think backwards stuff. And so I pray against that in the name of Jesus, because you got to press forward. God wants us to press forward towards the mark. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So that's what I pray against it in the name of Jesus. But it just keeps on coming and coming. 4 or 5 dreams a night, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, what the heck? And just over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that I might, if I was you, and I was telling Michael to do this too the other night, I believe, that so when dreams start coming up, they're usually a sign, not necessarily that we're under attack from the devil, though it feels like it sometimes. It's sometimes revealing that we have those fears inside of us, those that we still carry the condemnation of what we did or didn't do, we should have, would have done, all that stuff. And that's very real, because I've woken up in the middle of the night wailing, you know, not because I feel like crying or I'm wailing and oh God. I mean, just like, wow, what is going on? I mean, I could control it if I wanted to, but because I'm going, God, and so I felt like I disappointed all these people and I disappointed this person and that fear just, and that disappointment thing was coming out of me. I thought I had already dealt with it. And so as I was approaching victories and new things in the Lord, that fear, that condemnation, that all the people I had disappointed, I felt like I had disappointed, it all came to the surface because it was still inside me, and God that night delivered me from it. And when I got delivered the next day, I go, man, I feel clean. And I didn't even ask for it. I didn't even know it was inside of me. Yeah, the night before it happened, I was preaching a message somewhere in a church, and a brother came up to me afterwards who was a good friend of mine. He comes to me, he says, Randy, he said, I saw you, like, some things you think you've dealt with, but you haven't really dealt with them. I got kind of ticked off with him, Martine. I think, can't you just wait and tell me this, like, tomorrow? I just got through preaching, I'm sweating, and got the, I didn't want that right now. You know, I didn't want that right now. But he told me anyway, and so I'm glad he did, because what happened was true. And then the next night, I think it was the very next night, I woke up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I mean something, a seal broke inside of me, and I was wailing. I mean, I'm talking scared some people because it was like coming out of me like crying, you know, not like anger, but it was like crying and pain and anguish. And I mean, it was coming out of me without much, you know, I could have controlled it maybe, but I didn't want to because I knew God was doing something. And I mean, the next morning after it was all over with, later that day, I knew it was God because I knew something actually happened because I thought, man, I feel so clean today. I feel like fresh and new. Yeah. And so we live with those things sometimes, Martine, inside of us. And we, especially if we want to walk with God and we want to do the right thing, we condemn ourselves for things and we don't even realize we're doing it. We hold ourselves captive for why didn't we do this and I could have done that better and why didn't I do it? You know, all that stuff. It's very real. And it gets locked inside us like grief.
Because I know I'm about to break through. I already know that. Good things are about to happen. I know it. And I thought it was the enemy trying to thwart those plans. You feel me? Like, because it just kept on, it just seemed like it was back. Everything was when I was a kid. Everything was, you know, school, being confused and you know, what the house I used to live in when I was 10 and all of this nonsense. And so I thought, ooh, the enemy is doing this overtime, you know, I got to break this somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, break this somehow. There's the key word. But the somehow has to do with understanding, you know, at least I'm not saying the enemy's not trying to do something, because the enemy tries to do anything with any of our weaknesses. Anytime we have something inside of us, usually he knows we carry grief and sorrow and things. Like I was carrying that, you know, like my friend told me after I preached, he said, you know, I feel like you think you've got delivered some things, free of some things that you haven't gotten free of. You know, I didn't want to hear that. It's like, I got a little bit disturbed with it. But you know what? It was amazing. It was God, because that very next night, I mean, boom, I wake up wailing, man, like, God, you know, it was just, it was so amazing. And so, you know, so yeah, God graciously was setting me, he graciously set me free. And so, yeah, I'm not saying the enemy doesn't try to use those things to make us. Here's what happens. If you have an issue inside you from something you're not even aware of, like with me, my situation. So when it starts coming up, the enemy goes, oh, yeah, look at you. You know, you thing, you know, like, you know, you never really dealt with that, right? You know, you messed up with those people. You really disappointed those people. You're a bad person. But you know what? The devil could have done that and was trying to do that with me. But you know what God was trying to do in the middle of this breakthrough? God, at the same time, was saying, Randy, I'm setting you free of this. This has been locked up inside you, and you didn't even know it, just like your friend told you last night. He said, I had him tell you that because I wanted to prepare you, because the devil's going to tell you it's just, oh, yeah, you just this and you just that, and trying to lock you up in the past. He said, but I'm bringing the past out of you. You see what I'm saying? So so that process, the devil was trying to had my friend not told me the day before that or the night before that at the meeting that very thing that I love the fact that I didn't like it, because then I remembered it, you know, because I didn't appreciate him.
True.
you know talking to me like that. He ought to know better than that. He's a preacher. He knows better than to come up after somebody and been preaching his powerful message, you know, preaching their heart out and coming up to him telling something like that. You know, I just wasn't very happy with it. you know. So I remembered it, right, because I was ticked off. And so, boy, did I ever remember it the next day. I went, thank you, Jesus, for brother, you know, so-and-so. And my gosh, because, you know, but see, if what if God hadn't have told me through him? I might have thought, oh, the devil's just trying to condemn me, and I would have swallowed it without even realizing I was swallowing it, instead of God washing it out of me to set me free of it and cleanse me of it. You see what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Is the devil trying to do something? Of course he is. God's trying to do something. In the middle of God trying to do something, just like with Joseph, you know, God was trying to do something. What Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good, right? So he was bringing that stuff out of me for good, but Satan was trying to make it into, well, you really are a bad person. Everything I felt about myself, he had helped convince me of it, and it locked it up inside me. So when it was trying to come out of me by God, God was going like, yeah, I'm setting you free. The devil's going like, yeah, you slime bag. You sorry dog. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
If I had have listened to that, I would have just swallowed it and never gotten free of it.
Wow. Okay. I hear you.
So I would just say, I think what I would do if I were you is, you know, ask the Lord, God, you know, is what's going on with me so regularly is things you're trying to wash out of me, you know, the bad part of memories, the things, you know, that my past, you know, are you trying to cleanse me and wash me of things? They don't have to be bad things, but just sometimes your past is your past. And sometimes God's trying to give you a new beginning, so he wants to help. The way you get a new beginning many times is the old passes away. It doesn't mean that you forget it, but he washes away the sting of it or the fear of it or, you know, the trouble of it or the condemnation you felt when you didn't do everything perfect. You know, you didn't say everything right. You know, and he tries to use that to condemn you. And God takes the sting of the condemnation away, though the memory's still there, but now the sting is gone. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a soft place to land. He tries to make sure that we're not, like, in shock spiritually, but he cushions it so that it's not so bad, even though we have to work
through
it.
That's good. Right, right. So I think you might ask him about that. Just ask him, you know. You know, Lord, you know, help me to yield to you if you're trying to wash away or messing with me and I don't know it. Like with me, like my friend told me, he said, you think you've dealt with this stuff, but you haven't. Okay, you're full of it, man. I haven't dealt with this stuff. When I deal with something, I know how to deal with it. Get back, Jack. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say that. I didn't say anything.
No,
I just
I know,
kind of swallowed
it.
Like, yeah.
Let me go home and sleep.
I went home. And then it all happened, you know, just like you said. You know, going, thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah, God was gracious to me in my idiot self. You know, he just kind of like blessed me anyway. But
yeah,
because we
absolutely
don't know everything, just like I didn't know it. I didn't know that was inside me. I didn't have a clue.
Well, I am going through times of trying to heal, so it's true. As I'm fasting and praying and seeking God, asking God, I'm renouncing things. I'm trying to purge my life of things that I've done. So there is truth to that, you know, that I'm seeking God.
Okay.
To purge all of that out of my life. So maybe there are aspects that I thought were dealt with and aren't. So, yeah, I'm certainly going to be obedient to what you're suggesting and ask God about that.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. You're not dumb going through it. It's like God is like going, you know, your human beings are deep and mysterious. Like if you'd have told me I had those feelings inside me, you know, like when I was growling at him on the inside, you know, you're trying to tell me I don't know how to deal with stuff. Is that what you're trying to say? You know, if I'd opened my stupid mouth and said what I was thinking, I probably, oh yeah, you're trying to say I don't really know how to deal with stuff, right? That was trying to say, you know, but I didn't, thank God, because you know I'm like, you know, you're wrong, man. So anyway, it was right, and you know, God graciously delivered me in spite of myself, and it was beautiful, you know. So We don't know ourselves, and I would have never dreamed that I had that inside me, not in a million years. And boy, did it ever surprise, it surprised me so much that I think the people in the neighborhood, I don't think people in the neighborhood could hear me, but I mean, it was like coming out of me, you know, like pain and sorrow, like how you just disappointed all these people, you know, and finally hits you one day. That's how I felt. That's literally how I felt.
Wow. Okay.
And I was carrying
that.
I will certainly do that. Yeah. So ask the Lord, you know. That's what it sounds like to me. But friend was here. Maybe he would tell you that. And you get mad at him. And I go like, why don't you shut up, man? Don't be telling her that kind of stuff. She knows how to, when she gets free of stuff, she gets free. Who do you think you are? What do you think? What are you talking about? But he's not here. And I'm not saying that to you. But it's certainly a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, so. Yeah, praise God. Awesome.
Absolutely. Okay, and the last thing is always pray for Gregory and I.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to move on, so I'm going to mute you. God bless you. We really had a great time. This is awesome. I don't think we've ever talked long before.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But anyway,
it's
sorry.
Great.
You can...
I love it, too. It's really awesome. Thank you, Martine, for sharing all that and being, you know, going along with and working and flowing with the Holy Ghost like you did. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you. And we thank you, Jesus, for Gregory and her father. We thank you, Lord, for your work being done. And in that process of your work being done with her and Gregory, Father, all these things, every time you open up an opportunity for us, we get faced with the reality of a blessing. We go like, man, is this, you know, this is what I want, but do I really want it? I mean, is it going to work out? And we start fearing and fear of failure, fear of future, fear of when I mess this up, you know, and, you know, all those kind of things happen. And so God begins to bring it to the surface so that he can scrape it off. Like we always talk about these teachings, how gold is purified. You turn up the fire and all the impurities come to the top. Well, what's happened? You know, like what happened with me. That impurity was coming to the top. I didn't know it. God used a friend of mine to graciously tell me, you know, you got some things in you think you've dealt with, but you haven't dealt with them. And I went, okay, whatever. Wow. And what was happening? It was coming to the surface. It was coming to the surface where God could scoop it off. And I could be more in the golden, you know, the gold in me was more pure. The presence of Jesus in me, the presence of God in me more pure. And those impurities, which make you weak. When gold has impurities in it, it makes it weak. It's not pure. It's not, yeah. So I thank you, Jesus, for in the midst of doing all this work with Gregory and Martine, God, that you bless them, you're calling them, that, you know, you've chosen them, God, and you're going to bless them, God. And, as they grin, I'm going to say, just like the Bible says, if my people, and as if, and I know you will, I believe you will, yield to the Lord and let him scoop off all the stuff. As you've yielded to the Holy Spirit, Martine, and let the fire of God's love and his mercies and his graces and his convictions draw all those things and heat you up hot enough, where those things that are in there come loose. When they come loose, they come to the top. And then God just scoops them off by the Holy Spirit. And we're free and clear. You know, we can work together better with people. We don't fear failure. We fear failure less. And we fear a lot of things less. And so I thank you, Lord, for being fearless. In Jesus' name, and with her and Gregory, Father, just bless it, nurture it, cause it to work, make it happen, Father. Amen. Your will. Amen. All right, let's go here to 720-620. Who am I talking to right from, please? Hello, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Veronica, number?
Hi, Veronica.
Hello.
Yeah, all right, Veronica. Good to have you tonight. I figured that was you. Look like your number. All right, let's pray for you, Veronica, and just for a second. And thank you for being there. Thank you, Jesus, for Veronica.
Well, I think for Veronica, Father, that you're adding, wanting to add to her, add and multiply. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and his righteousness, what's right with him, how to, you know, we can be right with God at one level, and all of a sudden God says, I'm going to come, you're going to come to another level. So all of a sudden, where we were right with God before, all of a sudden we become, you know, more righteous, if you will, or more aware of the righteousness of God. And God, we step into another level of righteousness where God says, that was okay, you know, but I'm drawing you into something new. I'm drawing you into a new place. I'm drawing you into a new place of my grace and my favor. And I'm going to add to you, because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the Lord wanting to add to you and increase you and multiply you. So, Father, I thank you for showing Veronica all the ways when we move from one area of righteousness to another area, a deeper level of righteousness, a deeper level of obedience. And because when we obey you, those are called works of faith, righteous works, not unrighteous, not self-righteous, but works of righteousness. In other words, because, you know, we used to maybe live at this level, and then God brings us to another level. He said, your obedience right now is important to me, because it's going to bring you to another level of righteousness, if you will, where you're, you know, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. So as you step into another level of righteousness, higher level, deeper level, you know, the fellowship of the Lord, it causes you to, for God, you get into a realm of harvest where God begins to add to you and multiply you and increase you. Amen. In Jesus' name. So let that be done with my sister. Hallelujah. All right, Veronica, how are you doing tonight? What's up?
I'm being blessed up and down, right and left. I say, oh, my God.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
And I know because, as you say, put the kingdom of God in his righteousness. And as you were talking about make riches in the kingdom of heaven where there's no thief, and it's true. We have to, I was talking about it all day, that we have to enrich people's lives, enrich the kingdom of God. And everything that we have, we can partake in some of it in this more different portions to people, to lives, to family, to friends, to neighbors, to strangers, to churches, to ministers, because that's how it comes back. It comes back multiplied.
And, you know, understanding how that works and, you know, step into, you know, different levels of obedience, you know, things that I wouldn't used to do. You know, I used to preach against this and preach against that. I wouldn't do that, you know. And the Lord says, you know what, now I've told you not to do that before, but now I want you to do something different. And so he draws me into a new place with him. And just like helping my kinfolk. I mean, I've never been against helping my kinfolk, but I've never really, you know, thought that I would be doing this. I mean, this is like something I almost preached against, you know.
I understand.
I got my phone there. Hang on a second.
Yeah. So, so we learn to, you know, obey the Lord and do that. And when you do, you enter to another realm of harvest where, you know, things get added to you, you know, things you've been waiting for, things you've been believing God for. It just opens up the door for, you know, new things.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like I was getting a revelation about Jesus went deeper to the earth and went deeper on hell. Hell. He went deeper to get the keys of hell, right? And in our lives, we go deeper with God and deeper with ourselves, like who we are, what we're doing, and getting healed and getting renewed and seeking for something more and seeking for a lot of different things that God keeps showing us, God keeps leading us. And at the deeper levels, it's exciting because it takes you to the newness of Christ.
Right, yeah, and that's what we want. You know, I know I go through times where I'm going, God, I feel like I need something new. I need something, I need a breakthrough. I need some cleansing. I need some washing. I need something, you know, something new. Like my mercies are new every morning. I said, okay, I could use some of that new stuff. I need some new stuff. And so, you know, yeah, like you're saying, he calls us to, you know, there's sometimes, you know, I have a difficulty in obeying God in certain things. You know, I do it, but it's not because I want to do it. I do it because I feel like I better do it. And so, and then I enter into a place where I really want to do it. I love doing it. You know, what do? I enter into a deeper level of his righteousness where I'm not just trying to be righteous. The righteousness is in me, and I'm doing it because I love doing it. And when you do that, I mean, it's, you know, God starts adding to you. So it, your breakthrough begins.
Amen.
Yeah, like submitting yourself to, when I started submitting myself to do full-time ministry, I mean, that was difficult. I was used to having a job and working and doing ministry, and that way I always had money, you know. The Lord says, I don't want you to trust in your job anymore. I want you to trust in me. And, of course, I had ministry going on. It's not like I just started that fresh. But, you know, I'd been working it for a while. And then I stepped off into, you know, full-time ministry. My family freaked out. They're going like, oh, my God, what have you done? You know, you're crazy. And, man, the money just started rolling in. And I didn't ask for it. And God says, yeah, I told you, you know, if you obey me. But, you know, like I said, we had been building that ministry for a while. And when the Lord said full-time, I was content just working at my job and doing that ministry on the weekend, you know, and the Lord says, I want you to dedicate yourself. So it was difficult for me. It was not something that I did easily. It was hard. I was like, you know, I know some people going to freak out when they find out that I'm going to go full time. Like, you know who? Yeah. So it was a big deal.
It's amazing because God has a lot of stores for us. And when it's our time, and he multiplies in miracles, ways we can't even understand. And it's the favor of God that people just give left and right, or you give left and right. But it's a turnaround. It's like the law of attraction. Every time you give, it comes back fold 3 times, 5 times, 10 times. And then you give again, but you have to continue the law of attraction. And it's true. And working for the kingdom of God is the best company ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Yeah, and the thing with me was, Veronica, was that it was more about doing things willingly. I did things out of pure obedience because I knew I was supposed to. You know, and there's a place that we do that. I think there's a place that we do things because we know we're supposed to. And then after a while, it became because I loved doing it. I wanted to do it. And then when I started doing that, the willingness obedience was a completely different level. Sometimes we obey God because we know we're supposed to. The Word of God says it, so we're going to do it. You know, bless God in the name of Jesus. But eventually, if we keep doing that, you know, disciplining ourselves, eventually what we do is we break off into, wow, now I can't wait to do that. Now I love doing it. Now I look forward to it, which wasn't the case with me before. And so, you know, when I did that, when you enter into the willingness of being obedient, that brings your harvest level to a whole other place, a whole other place.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are ready.
What can we pray with you about? What's up? How are you?
Everything good. The Lord opened up doors today for opportunity for living, work, business, and I just feel that the Lord is breaking through financial strike and all these other things that were hindering. And then, but everything started with the choice, like I'm making a decision that will change my life forever. So I choose Jesus. I choose to follow him. I choose to serve him. And like you're saying, putting him first, everything else just came together. Today was a major breakthrough of many doors were open, and it was unbelievable. And I never been this blessed, and or everything in one day. So God can take years, not God or us or our sin or the enemy or demons or whatever.
Yeah.
But God does take one day to just bless you, and I praise him for that.
Wow, that is really awesome. That is really sweet Jesus stuff. Thank you, Lord, for that one day. Yeah, it's just like sometimes we have suddenlies where all of a sudden stuff starts happening. And, yeah, I think that as we step in obedience to the Lord, that stuff starts happening more and more. So, Lord, we thank you for increasing that, for showing Veronica more and more how to yield to that place of, of you adding to her and showing her all the, like the willingness to do things. Sometimes we get such a habit of doing things, we don't realize we're not really doing it willingly. We're just doing it because we know that we better. So that's okay. That's a good start. That's how we develop discipline, and eventually that discipline turns into pleasure, and from the Lord, and doing it out of pleasure. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, for her, and showing her how to step into that deeper and deeper and deeper into your righteousness, doing things the right way for her, what you call her to do, the right way, because every person has a thing God's called them to do specifically. And so I thank you, Lord, that she's learning how to walk in the righteousness of God for her, in her, around her, for her life. And in Jesus' name, so amen. And so combine her together with those who are like faith. Combine her together with them, God, so that we can have unity among our brethren, so that we can walk in unity. And we walk in unity. There's a special anointing comes down. Like Psalms 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like this, the precious oil poured down on the head of Veronica, Father, in Jesus' name, your servant, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, anything particular we can pray about tonight, or what's up?
No, thank you very, very much. God bless you, Rachel.
All right, thank you. I receive that. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Veronica, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, 460. Actually, wait, no, wrong one. All right, 908-305. Echo 908-305. Air code 908-305. Are you there? All right. 863-808. Cheryl from Florida.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on over there in Florida?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's what we're trying to find out.
I don't know.
I understand completely. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's minister. Ask God, guys. Thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl from Florida, Father. We thank you, Lord, that I see you like a child and like a kid in school, and you're raising your hand and you're not only asking questions, but you're answering questions. It's like the teacher is giving you his favor. The teacher of the class or whatever, giving you the favor because he sees that you're just like when Jesus was in the temple when his mother and Joseph were looking for him. Remember that? And they couldn't find him anywhere. Where was he at? He was in the temple. And the religious leaders could tell that Jesus thought different than other kids his age because of the questions that he asked and the way he answered questions. And so I kind of see that with you. I see you like asking questions that are just like you know, like not what everybody else asks, but something unique, something showing that you've had a depth. God's been growing you at a deeper depth in your life. And so you can always tell when people are really growing with the Lord because they, the way they ask questions and the way they answer questions. So I see you like with your hand up and teacher, you know, you asking questions and answering questions, kind of like Jesus did in the temple when he was 12 years old. And they were like amazed at the questions that he even asked. I mean, they were just amazed at how he thought. And so I see the mind of Christ being worked in you, Cheryl, God showing you how to yield to the mind of Christ, to the way he thinks and going to the root of issues. And like Jesus always did, they were always shocked that Jesus could go to the root of the answer, the root of the problem, to find the root of things, because he understood how the kingdom worked. And I see God really training you, showing you how to, you know, how the kingdom works, so that when something's not going the right way, you go like, well, I know it's not right because that's not the way the kingdom works. You know, instead of like just being critical because they're doing the wrong thing, you know, you like go, well, I know that because that's not the way the kingdom works. Moses knew the ways of God. And so God showing us his ways means that when we see something going on that's the wrong way, you know, they may not see it's the wrong way. They just, this kind of time trying to do something for God. But you see it's the wrong way. It's not the way of God. Because Moses understood the ways of God. And when you see something that's not in line with the ways of God, you go, that's not God. Right away, you go, that's not God. Well, how do we know that? Because it's not the ways of God. Jesus knew things were, when they asked questions of him that were very difficult questions, he would go right to the root of the question and answer it from a root level. And they were just shocked, like, oh, how did you know that? You never studied the law. How did you know all that stuff? Well, the Spirit of God was showing them. So anyway, God's training you, showing you. Anyway, so what's up over there? Now we know what's going on in Florida.
Wow. Well, I was listening to the last part of your conversation with Martine.
Okay.
And I always liked, it was funny with me that you bring up the teachers. And when I liked a teacher, I felt favored by a teacher, I go, really? I could do good, you know, I could engage. And,
right.
So I'm just thinking of, I've been through a rough time the last 3 days, and I'm trying to get to the root of what am I going through? Time will I have Deb by myself? I usually have help. And so there's some engaging again that I need to do with Dad, because when it's just him and I, the dynamics are different. So, yeah, God is going to the roots in me still. And I was just thinking, it's just like God opening up when you're talking, how I don't know what favor has to do with it, but I know when you feel loved and you feel favored, you can just, like, things are easier when you're engaged in something, when you're doing it, like you said, because you want to instead of you have to. And so God's opening that up at a whole new level. In our servanthood, he has to, because it gets servant, get tired. So there has to be whole new levels of favor, and like you said, mercy's new, and I'm just getting fed, you know, my spirit's getting fed. I have backed off of a lot of intercession because I heard Walter say last night, I can't pray, like, I felt so connected to Walter in that I understood what he's saying. You know, he's serving, and you just can't, even when you try, you can't pray like you used when you're stretched into the max. So, anyway, God is, I'm trying to navigate through it all, and still, like, I want to engage and pray. It's just like, sometimes I just have to get I have to listen. I have to get fed. So Blog Talk's good for me. I love to hear other people get ministry. And I love to hear, like, Martine talking about her dreams. I can so relate to that. I had so much inner healing. I had to listen to my dreams. And sometimes you forget to do that, to take notice of some of it's just washing dreams and from the day. But,
yeah.
So anyway, I'm just trying to put the pieces together, like you said. And the Lord is still, and I'm having to go back and do, oh, pray for me, taxes, but because Dad's been in and out of the hospital. I can't even find my checks, and I'm repenting on a whole new level of having things here, there, and everywhere, and I can't find when I need it. So I get under condemnation, and I'm like, God, please forgive me. But, you know, he's like, look at your life. Look what you've been through in the last 2 years. And so I'm trying not to beat myself up. I'm just going to go to the bank and get my checks and
fight.
So anyway, that's what's going on in Florida, Randy.
Right.
I don't know.
Big time. So. Yeah, I think that the spirit of intercession, you know, like when I heard you talking about, you know, prayer, not being able to pray, I think that's pretty, I think it's pretty common as far as, you know, common. It's pretty much part of the process, because when we enter into a new era, when God shifts things and he's doing things in a different way, then if our intercession, you know, so our intercession changes. So we go from, you know, like everybody's praying for Trump, you know, as far as the political thing. Yeah. And so when that began to, you know, and I had some people got really mad at me about that, sending me people that have helped us and given to us and been friends with us for a while, that sent me, you know, emails saying I was in deep, not just an error. That would have been bad enough. I'm in deep error, you know. Because they, number one, misunderstood completely what I was saying, and the fact that I was just saying what God was saying, not what I thought, not what I wanted. But what happened is people's prayers starts becoming ineffective because we're praying for the, you know, in that era, that's what God wanted to do. He wanted Trump in there when he had Trump in there. But all of a sudden something shifted. And so when that shifted, then our prayers shift to, okay, now, God, we need to quit spending all of our time and money trying to get Trump back in office, and because I know that's not going to happen, you know, as far as what they think is going to happen, the way it's going to happen. So we'll spend all of our time and money trying to get him back in office. Again, what we need to do is maybe get him to work in Texas and Florida to get us another system here in Texas so that we can be prepared for the future instead of trusting that, you know, okay, Trump, all of our money to Trump, and him trying to win the political thing, instead of taking that money and all that stuff, and our prayers start changing. I'm talking about prayer. Our prayer starts changing to, let's move from trying to win an election to trying to get Texas and Florida and all the other states in a place where we can have our own banking systems, where we can have our own internet, where we can have our own satellites, and we can function as a church or as a people who there's a lot of heathen people that hate the system. Right, it's not just Christians. There's heathen people that don't even like the system. So we're going to have heathens and Christians together hating the system in the same place. My point is that when intercession begins to shift, and we're still praying for raise up this person, heal this person, do it, and God's saying, you know, that's not what the new thing is. The new thing is something different. If we don't catch that flow and shift with the things we used to pray for because it was so powerful. Now it's not powerful anymore. Why? Because it's no longer the Holy Ghost. It's now shifting into something new. Now we pray, instead of Trump, as an example, we pray for Texas, Florida, and all the other states that they get their own system so that we won't be caught. So when Trump doesn't make it and Trump doesn't happen like they think it's going to, then we didn't waste all this time and money. Instead, we spent the time and money and our structural organizing and getting Texas ready, and that we were not caught with our britches down because we were just sitting there hoping that
that we would take over the system again through a Republican president. Mm-hmm. When the God's saying, don't pray about that anymore. That's not going to happen. That's not what's in. So you see what I'm saying? It's like when our prayers, when our intercession changes, if we don't change with it, it becomes boring. It becomes old. It becomes, you know, it's happened to me many times.
I know that because you're talking about a paradigm shift and I've had the Lord many times in my life shift prayer, my perspective, or I call it a paradigm, and it's kind of like growing from glory to glory. It's like, okay, we're shifting in this, and he does, it'll shut down. He'll have me quit, like they call it praying from the second heaven, you know, the way we used years ago, you know, and looking at things and worrying about what your enemy's doing and always constantly binding the enemy, you know what I mean? Not that he doesn't need to be bound, but you just shift and you realize, hey, God's taking care of my enemies. When you're younger, you just go, you see, all you can do is see the enemy. And, you know, the older you get, and the Lord, Lord says, like, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You don't have to spend time on that. So understand, because God has done that with me many times. He'll just have me stop praying about a situation. I've heard you tell people that, too. You need to just stop praying about that.
Yeah.
So I literally get what you're saying. I get it from the inside out. And so, God
That's cool.
told me how you want me to pray.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm good.
No, I'm just.
I said it.
Whatever. But, yeah. Well, I some of the things you're talking about, I remember, is one of the examples I use a lot is I was in a church where I was prophesying and preaching, and the pastor there loved me. He liked what I did, and so he was all for it. And his wife was, you know, a godly woman, but she was a woman, you know. She thought different. She believed different, and she was a real intercessor, and she had her idea of what. And I'm sitting there prophesying. I mean, the place has got a bunch of people in there, right? And I stepped right in front of her, and I says, you know, you need to quit praying about that stuff. He just like went, he turned around, he goes, yeah, I know Chandler's fixing to lay something on her, and I've been trying to tell her to quit praying about it, she just keeps on praying about it, and that's exactly what happened. He turned around her and he started shaking his head, yeah, and I said, the Lord says that your prayers are hindering it because you keep praying about it when I said to quit praying about it. So he got really excited about that. That's why he said, Randy, you're a man of God, because nobody knows that about my wife but me. And I'll go, really? That's so good. She says, yeah. And sure enough, you know, within a few, I think the next weekend, I can't remember, like $20,000 came out of the blue, took care of something. And because, you know, because when we keep praying about something that God's not having us pray, it's either answered or that's not important right now or that's not what I'm doing right now. And we keep praying, it hinders our life. It hinders what God's trying to do. It's amazing. And people don't understand it. And it's hard to shift over sometimes. You know, it's hard when you're believing God. You take pride in the fact that I'm standing strong about this. And the Lord says, just give me praise about it. Don't pray about it ever again. You're going like, what? It's really it's difficult to, you know, and I knew where she was, because we've all done that. We've all stood in there for things that God says, I've already taken care of that. You're hindering the thing by keeping on praying. Yeah.
Fear or guilt or negative stuff instead of praying in faith. So after a while, you know. Well, I don't want to hold you. There's just so much. And I am, it's almost like I'm down for the count, honestly. I'm like, God, I don't know. So I'm having to back off of help here, and because paying somebody to come in your home. So it's just a lot of things that I'm I still work a little bit. But really, I'm only working to keep a business, and you know, so that when Dad, something does happen, that I still have a business. So that's kind of in the back of my mind. God, do you want me to just do something else, or not work, or you know, the future is always hanging in the balance, so to speak. You know, so. Yeah, so I just got a lot on me, and don't know. And ministry's definitely been put on hold. You know, like So anyway.
Yep, I've been there, done that. I know exactly what that's like. I had ministry go on hold for a while once, and I never really understood it. I moved to a different part of the state. And actually moved to Dallas, and I'd been pastoring full time, and you know, that kind of thing. And I was here, and I was like, I got a job. I got to take care of my family. I got a job, painted, did construction work for several years. I did ministry, but it was like it wasn't full time. So you never know what's going on. And of course, that's when the thing happened, and the revival at that job happened. Went on for 3.5 years, and then God, took my obedience for him going to work and doing ministry too, And if you're called to do ministry, you never lose that desire. You may not always be doing it, quote unquote, like you normally do, but it's there. So it's there. I think you're fixing to have a financial new resource coming in. I'm not saying you're not going to be doing your job, but I think that it's going to take some of the burden off of you. And it's going to make it more fun, make it more easy, make it more because you want to, make it because you enjoy it more than it is. You have to do it when you have to do a job to make money, to make ends meet, or whatever, it's a little bit more difficult because you have to do it. You really have to. I have to go to work. I have to work 8 hours a day or else, we don't get paid the bill, And so I see some kind of financial happening, a financial breakthrough that kind of takes that away to where you don't really have to do this, but you do it because, for ministry reasons and for, the fact you, you're going to be able to enjoy it rather than have to do it to, keep life together. So I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know what's going to go on with your dad. I don't know what's going on with your dad. I don't know anything, but Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for that provision. We thank you, Lord, for that, for that breakthrough, for that resource of finances, that resource of help, that resource of money. In Jesus' name, let it be done.
Praise the Lord. I just work, I just do a lot. I just do like 2 people because you can't chase him down the road and lately, the last 3 days he's been strong and he's been going outside the house and he can't hardly walk, so you have to make sure he's not falling and hitting his head on the concrete. That's why I said I'm at my wit's end. I'm like, I can't take this, Eddie. I said, I get you healed and then you start driving me crazy. He's bedridden. He's like captive, but when he's walking out the door, down the road, he'll sit in the car. He'll go sit in the car and says, I'm ready to go. I'm like, oh, okay. my goodness. Thank you.
To make that transition is very difficult. I mean, it's just like, it's an emotional thing. This is your dad. This is your family. This is your, your loved one. And it's just a whole different thing. It's hard to see sometimes, where things are at when it's you and you're, Sound like to me you're doing really good. It's just at a transition point and has been for a while, really. But when the transition point comes, I think you'll know you've got to do something with it. Hurt him.
I'm almost there.
I think you are, and I think you're going to realize, because you love him, that you realize that he could get hurt, or it could hurt him to not have that transition made. So which hurt do you take? Do you take, you know, I mean, you have, it's like you're deciding between two different kinds of hurt. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Randy. I'm not going to hold you.
All right. Whatever. All right.
Appreciate it.
Hey, welcome.
When we hang up or whatever, it's just my kids' thing to just say a prayer for one or two of them or whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You don't mind.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it.
Because I would I don't get to spend time with them like I want either, you know?
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's pray about that, and I'll meet you, and then we'll pray about that.
Okay.
And yeah. All right. So thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl and her family, and all the transitions going on. God, we just, you know, it's not that we don't know things are, we know things are going to land, but we don't know how, we don't know where, we don't know how, we don't know what it's going to look like. But so give her the eyes and her children, give them the eyes to see, you know, when things are needing to be done, that they discern it with their heart, not with just their head, not trying to reason it out and figure it out, but discern with their heart, God, and move with their heart, that they will move with their heart. And so I thank you, Jesus, for the heart you've given them, for the heart they've been raised with, the heart of God, the love of Jesus, love for the ministry, love for God. And I thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her children, Father, and that their hearts will, that are knit to her, Father, will come together and bring about new positions, new places, new things, and in Jesus' name, and a new future, and a new joining, and a new bonding together, a new bonding, God, that, in Jesus' name, there's a new bonding coming. Lord, I thank you for that new bonding, Father, and that each person will have a little bit different bonding kind of thing, but it's a new bonding thing going on. And they will realize this family and what's really going on, and, blood is thicker than water and all that. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're going to preserve her children, preserve her family, Father. In Jesus' name, you're going to preserve them and bless them. And cause them to, to the right time, the right season, what's in their heart for their mother, what's in their heart for their family, will rise up and overtake them, and they will yield to it in the name of Jesus and cause a unity to come together, Father, in their lives, in their family, and they're joining together, and they're knit together, and joined together at the hip. God, in Jesus' name, let that beginning begin now. In Jesus' name, let them catch the wave of the wind of what's going on, and step in, amen. Join together. All right, let's take the next caller here. Let's go here to back to 908. All right, 908, are you there? 908-305.
Hello.
Yes, can I talk to you from, please?
Hello, this is Carol. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Is it you say Carol?
Hi, I'm from New Jersey. How are you?
Doing pretty good. All right. You said Carol, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you could just thank you.
Let's pray for you. I'm gonna mute you for a second. Let's pray for you. And Carol, good to have you tonight. And I tried to get you earlier, and I think you were out for a minute, but we got you. So thank you for hanging in there. God, we thank you for Carol. Well, we thank you for the comfort, God, bringing her comfort. When the Holy Spirit comforts us, He doesn't just comfort us with just patting us on the back. He comforts us by bringing what we need. He comforts us by bringing the word that we need, by bringing the information that we need, not what we think we need, but what God says that we need that will actually bring results that will actually cause you to look back and go, man, had that not happened when it did. So the spirit of comfort, God comforting you, Carol, you know, and like when we walk through the valley of shadow of death, you know, we are comforted by the fact that, you know, he's with us. Right? He's with you. Being with you means that it doesn't matter what you're going through. When he's with you, you know, he'll take whatever Satan means for evil and turn it out for good because he's with you. And I thank you, Jesus, for the strength in Joshua. You let God let Joshua know very specifically and very directly, very personally, that I am with you, you know, and be of great courage. Be courageous. Be of great courage. Be encouraged. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for that comfort of that whole comfort realm. Father, in Jesus' name, to comfort my sister, Father, and bless her and cause her to realize that the freedom comes from God, didn't come from people. Only God can give freedom. The truth is what brings true freedom, the truth. And Lord, I thank you for the truth that you've given her, for the truth that she speaks to others, and realizing that when you not only walk in truth, but when you give the truth, that creates a realm of freedom and comfort. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, well, let's talk to her and see what's going on over here. All right, Carol, how are you doing tonight? What's up? What can we pray for?
Hi, Pastor Randy. I'm doing actually pretty well, thank you. And God has been offering me comfort for sure. I am in a transition time, certainly, and I'm just praying that for this new year, to completely surrender to what the Lord wants in my life. And I was a bit hesitant before then, but that is where I'm at right now, that just surrendering everything to him and just praying that God will use my life to show the love of Jesus. And it's so freeing for me because I was bound by some rejection and anger and rejection and resentment and kind of not forgiving some people because I was hurt from them. Somebody in the church, a close friend, a Christian friend, and also family and so forth. And God has set me free from that. So he's like, all right, that's what the Lord told me, to just let it go to the Lord. And it's been really very healing. And I honestly feel, I keep saying, I feel like a weight off my shoulders. And so the Lord said, now you're ready to move on to the next level in him. And I'm very grateful. And the Lord told me, it's the next level I go to with him. Have to have the love of Jesus. What is it to do all these other things without the love of Jesus and the compassion and the mercy for others? So if you could please pray that God would just open up the doors. I'm in need of finances and a job, but I know that the Lord's like, okay. So that's all I could tell you, that he is comforting me and I have such peace. And that's all I can say. And it's a beautiful place to be right now, but that's what I can say, and I'm looking for. Where does the Lord want me to use my gifts and talents that he's given to me? That's pretty much where I'm at. And I was just having some quiet time with God.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, you know, comfort, sometimes money can be comforting. I mean, you know, when God brings you a job and starts giving you a place, you know, where you feel like you got some money coming in, you know, that's comforting too, you know. And comfort
Absolutely.
Can come in all different kinds of ways. Yeah, so yeah. You know, it's like when we comfort somebody, we don't just go, oh, we wish you well. We, you know, usually do something. You know, they need food, you give them food. Clothing, you give them clothing. You know, that's how we comfort people. We don't just comfort them with words. We comfort them with, you know, whatever they need. So, yeah. Right. So, Lord, we just thank you for Carol. God, we thank you, Lord, for the comfort you are giving her so that she doesn't panic or get in fear. Because when we're comforted, when we don't have, like Paul the Apostle says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, you know, what I can either have or not have, you know. And so that's a pretty, pretty interesting place to be.
Yes.
And not exactly. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rich, it's not a fun place to be in, but I'm at a peaceful place. I'm not, like, going to panic about it because it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But Rich said not to panic, but, I mean, to get to this place, it's not been an easy place to get to, but...
No, it's not easy. Right, exactly. It's not easy. That's why we need comfort, because when we don't have what we need, you know, it's very disturbing. So that's just very normal. It's not carnal or whatever. It's just very normal. You know, Jesus wept, Jesus cried, Jesus grieved, Jesus had, you know, anxiety and stress come upon him, you know, but he never sinned with it because he learned how to cast his care on the Father. And, you know, of course the Father always comforted him with knowing that, you know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to just do my will and I'm going to take care of you. There's no question about that. And so, I know that's what you're talking about. And, you know, so I thank you, Jesus, that as you comfort her, God, that comfort is what keeps us from, you know, getting, you know, freaking out. I mean, how many times have I freaked out? I freaked out a time or two, but because when you comfort me, Lord, your comfort keeps me from freaking out. It keeps me from panicking. And that's why I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with Carol. She's not panicking or freaking out or whatever. You're comforting her and giving her the strength to, because when we panic, then we make the problem worse. That's what I do. When I panic or I get anxiety and stress, I make the problem worse, because then I worry about it more, and then I increase my prayers become anxiety-filled and stress-filled, and that's our prayer. But when you comfort us, Holy Spirit, we pray out of, you know, we know that you're going to provide for us. We know that so it keeps us from making the situation worse. And therefore, God can come in and draw, you know, because you have a drawing, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So I thank you, Jesus, that because the comfort that she's able to bring, that drawing in, where you're drawing her in, comforting her, blessing her, in Jesus' name, and to meet those needs, Father. Open up that job for her, God. We thank you, Lord, for opening up that job and that position for her, in Jesus' name, where she will feel like that she can service people, servicing type situation, where she can serve them. Because we know the Word of God says when we serve, we're the greatest. So I thank you, Lord, as you put her in a position to serve and service people, that she will do that by the Holy Spirit. And it will be a financial blessing for her in services. Somehow you're going to be in services. I don't even know what services is exactly, but amen. So what are you wanting to do, Carol? Exactly. You have any idea what you want to do, or are you just willing to just do whatever so you can, you know? At this
point?
Well,
I do. I have been praying about it, and God has been opening up doors. I am a social worker, so I want to. I already have some Christian counseling, a therapy place. I'm also working with somebody who we want to open up a practice together, and I'm going to put my resume out, and I have a few places in mind, and I'm praying that the Lord will open up the doors. And I'm also a singer, a songwriter, musician, and I've written a book that God has put on my heart, and the Lord's like, you need to go forward with it. And I was like, okay, God, and the singing and the music and all those things coming together, and I've been praying about it for quite some time, and the doors just were shut for a while, and just wasn't happening,
right.
And after a while, it was just, like, kind of, like, bummed out about the whole thing, and the Lord's like, I just don't stress out about it anymore. What if that's not going to do anything? I figured that's definitely not going to do anything.
Right.
I have a more laid-back attitude about it, and I have people around me that's like, you're so laid back about it. But I'm thinking to myself, am I going to stress out like everybody else is stressing out? It's not going to do anything
sure.
to change it.
Yeah.
You know, so I have a piece about it. And they're like, I cannot believe you're so laid back about it. I said, what do you want me to do? Start getting stressed out. That is not going to do anything. It just isn't. But it's been in a holding pattern for a while, and it's been very difficult. And I don't talk to people about it
sure.
anymore. Because they don't,
right.
even the people in the church, my family, my friends, they don't understand. I don't think they really understand it, and that's okay. I just don't want to have no strife in my life, peace, with the Lord, and I'm praying about that. And I know God told me the doors are going to open, but it's been a while, and I guess we all, as Christians, we all go through those times, right? Those times that it takes a long time, too long.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've been waiting on a situation as far as the studio goes. I mean, I've been without a studio for a year. That's like, I can't even believe that sometimes. Like, oh my gosh. And so, you know, like you, I'm sure you start asking the Lord, what can I do to break this thing through? What can I do? What do you want me to do? And so I think that he gave me some things, and but it took time, you know. It's like you, I'm getting, you know, like going, okay, you know, what is there something I need to do? And so I think you're doing the right thing. You're asking the right questions, and that's great.
Yeah, and it's a matter of time, but it's interesting that I prayed about and the Lord opened up the doors. But, you know, there's times I have to say that it's like the doors didn't open for the jobs that I wanted or even the jobs that I had. They just didn't pay enough. They didn't pay me enough. And I'm like, and they just somehow they folded up or something. And I'm like, that sometimes it just gets crazy. I'm like, Lord, I said, Lord, you don't want me. Lord doesn't want us on the search to just like waste time. I don't think he wants us to just waste our time. He wants us to use our gifts and talents for the Lord. So I'm like, I'm trusting that his word, and I'm trusting that the Lord will open the right doors at the right time. And of course, with the COVID going on, it's hard to know where to work too. With the COVID and people wanting vaccines, not wanting vaccine, you know, it's just, it's not easy right now, you know, so.
Yeah. Right.
I do social work. I'm a social worker. So the jobs that they offer me are with people that are the most sickest. I work with the people with anxiety, depression, homeless people. So if I work any place, that type of population, and they want you to get a vaccine and all that other stuff and, you know, be around a lot of sick people. And I happen to be healthy because I didn't get COVID yet. And I'm like, Lord, do you want me to go out there and get sick? What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you, you know, so it's kind of a tough place to be.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's, you know, you sound like a strong lady. You sound like somebody who's, you know, been through some things. And so, yeah, in some ways, we all have a little bit of that thing that we need, that breakthrough in, you know. But when it's your basic necessities, that's a whole different thing. So that's a little bit different kind of a need when we have that. There's times I've had that too, of course. But, yeah, so thank you for her purpose, God. Thank you for the purpose you've given her, Carol, God, that her purpose is going to come forth. Her reason for living, her reason for living is not just, you know, to work and make money and eat, but it's to serve you, God. That's her purpose. That's her desire. And I thank you for opening that up for her in Jesus' name and show her the ways that she can best serve you. And more and more all the time. Open it up. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Yeah.
Amen.
So.
Well, thank you for, because it's more the waiting in between that time. Like you're looking for your studio. It's the waiting, and
right.
It's like, I know, God, you're going to come through. I'm sure of it, but... in the meantime, I am not going to go flipping out over everything. What's the point of doing that? Of course, my family just came out of, all of them caught COVID. One of my cousins died within the last 3-4 weeks. It's been not easy. I'm like, but, so it's been a crazy last year. I had 7 people die on me, friends and family, not even from COVID.
Yeah.
And it's been just, I've been tested through the waters. Like, okay.
No kidding. That's a lot. That's a lot for sure.
It's like, yeah. And I guess we all go through stuff. And one of my friends was saying, I think I went through something, but it was just without a job, without finances. But, you know, God has been, but I guess the thing is God's been providing. But the hardest part was it, and I have to say this, and that's not for me because I can't let people dictate. But it was just that the people that were closest to me were not supportive. They don't understand being unemployed and losing things. That was the hardest part, when people were making all these judgments, and that's the hardest part. So Lord said, you need to forgive them, but it's hard to have people in a church, your friends, your family. I know what they're trying to say, but it's not easy because, you know, it's just not easy.
But, it isn't, that's for sure. No doubt about it. All right, girl, you did good.
Well, thank God for the your ministry. It's been a blessing. Thank you for
thank you.
Your truth and listening. I really appreciate it very much, very much so.
You're so welcome. We enjoy doing it. So I'm glad you're able to be on with us when you can. So that's really cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
We're with you. And, okay. Thank you so much, Carol. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
I'll keep you posted. Safe.
Okay, yes. I'll definitely do that. All right, 251-229, you want to talk to you from, please?
This is Sarah. I'm from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. I thought that was you.
Hi.
Hey, Sarah, you're the one that gives on Generous, right? When you give to a company called Generous or Generos or something like that, Generosity or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, that's me.
Yeah, you know what? They contacted me and called me on the phone and said, you have $65 waiting for you. And I said, well, who is it? She said, well, they sent it to me, and every one of them were from you. I've never even heard of it before. So, yeah, I'm just letting you know about that. I thought that was kind of interesting, your calling tonight. Yeah, I think you mentioned that to me before, but I have never heard of it, girl. That's brand new.
Yeah, so that's waiting for you, right?
Right. December the 12th was the first one, I believe, and then it added up to $65. And she called me on the phone, telling me, "Are you Randy Chandler?" I go, "Who's asking?" "Who's asking?" She says, "This is so and so from Generous Ministry." Said you have some money waiting for you. I said, "Yeah, I'm definitely Randy Chandler. How much is it?" No, I didn't say that, but. She says, yeah, you have some people that have been, someone's been giving to your ministry. I go, really? And she, yeah. So she sent it to me by email and showed me all the offerings and everything. You were the only one and on that. So now she says they're going to send me a check here soon for $65. So thank you for that. That was awesome.
Oh, you're welcome.
See, I had a blessing. Didn't even know I had it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, going like, wow, that's cool. That
was
really
that's
cool.
Really
yeah,
cool.
So I'm waiting for them. I'm not really waiting for them, but they said they were going to send it in the mail. That you know, sent to the. They asked me for my PO box. I gave it to them. Very nice lady. Very nice people. And so yeah, I was just letting you know about that. Let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you for a second. Let's pray for you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. We thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. Father, thank you for the house, the home. God, blessing her house, blessing her with a house, and blessing her, you know, I don't know if she already has a house or not, but blessing her house, blessing her with a house. We can have a house and not be home. But thank you, Lord, that her house is a home already. And I thank you, Jesus, for blessing her household, which is her flesh and blood. You know, our household is not just our home we live in, it's our family. And I thank you, Lord, for doing a mighty work in her family, God, and showing her that you're blessing her household, her and her children, her child. Amen, with a new anointing, with you're watching over her, that you're watching over her children, her child, Father, in Jesus' name, and blessing and prospering. And even though we go through battles, in the midst of all the battle, God, you're working, you're taking her and her children and her child to a place called heaven, to a place called the heavenlies in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That you're blessing, God, and speaking the blessing over her family. In the name of Jesus, thank you for her mama. It was a great blessing, a woman of God, for that, God. And I thank you for extending that blessing through Sarah, God, into her child, into other people, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's go here and see what's going on. All right, Sarah, how are you doing? What's up?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Today, I made 51. It's my birthday.
Oh, today's your birthday. Happy, happy 51. You serve Jesus Christ the Son. He's the one on your birthday, number one. He's making you number one on your birthday. You're the one. He's the one because you made him the one. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Something on the side.
I can reverse it and make it 15, so hey.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, you'd be great. You'd be a wonderful, wise, smart 15-year-old, right? Yeah. They say, where did you get all that learning from? I used to be 51. Now I'm 15. Said the Lord giving you a new name,
right.
You a new age. He said, you want to be 15? What do you want? You want a new name or you want to be 15 again? You go, I want to be 15 again. He goes, okay, so be it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Why not?
All right. Renewing the youth. Yeah, that's all right. I was wanted you to, I guess, expound more on the home. I know that the passing of my mom, I just kind of stayed in the same area, you know, same home. But wanted to see if the Lord was speaking to you as more of getting a home or just staying where I'm located at right now.
Well, you know, I actually, when I started praying, I had forgot about all that stuff with with Yvonne, but as far as the house. But when I started praying that, you know, I pray for people all the time, and I hear the Lord talk, and I listen to him. And it sounded like to me he's going to give you a house. That's what it sounds like. But, you know, I don't know. I don't understand that. And then he started talking about making your house into a home, and your house is your home. Your house is your family, your house, your household, you know, like your children, your blood, and establishing you as a blessing with a house. So I have a feeling that has to do with the house eventually, you know. I don't know when, but it's what it sounded like. Didn't you think?
Oh, yes. And that's kind of up the – I was – that's I guess you want to say – I wouldn't say odd that you mention it because I've been looking at some smaller, like, brick homes and everything. This one is kind of like brick, a stucco, and I'm just glad to be in it, and I'm glad that the Lord laid it on your heart to pray about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, houses are, you know, like houses that used to sell for $100,000 are now selling for $200,000. So, and without any change done to them, you know, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, everybody's houses have gone up from $100,000 to $200,000. So, either way, you're not getting any more money for it unless you sold your house for, you know, $100,000 more than you bought it for, and then the market goes down and you buy another house, you know, for $100,000. And you have $100,000 in your pocket. That'd be nice. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Okay. Well, say it one more time. I didn't hear you.
Yeah. Something's being stirred up toward that. Sounds like to me.
I think so too, because I've been looking at some, and that's kind of odd you mentioned it because it's just the Spirit of God, you know, because I was looking at some and much smaller. And because, like, when my daughter leaves to go to college and everything like that, this will be more of a upstairs and downstairs type deal that I'm living in now. And, so, and I know the doctor was telling me, well, you need something that's more of a flat so you don't do anything with your knees, like put the pressure on it.
Right.
But I believe in the Lord for healing in that direction too.
Right, right.
And
well, I mean,
Leah, just
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I like all kinds of houses, two story, one story, flats. I mean, just the houses. You know, if you like the house, it's your house. You know, so cool.
Yeah. So, as well as Leah started school. Just changing the subject a little bit. She started school yesterday. It was her first day. So
right.
She's back doing that.
Okay.
So, I'm praying that she, you know, she has a friend that I just wanted to pray that everything goes well and the Lord will lead and guide her. You know, if the friend is someone she should have that's healthy for her and that she makes wise choices and makes Christian friends.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and Christian friends that are real Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of these people that got religion but don't really have Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that that as you raise her up, Father, you're gonna show her all different kinds of things. The friends that she has, sometimes the friends that we have, like some situations that God has put me in without my permission, were in with some pretty messed up people. I mean, really messed up. And they weren't, you know, Christian, but at the same time, they were really messed up. I mean, their belief system was totally backwards. Everything was backwards about it. And yet, for a season, he let me hang around them. Number one, because I'm strong. I'm not weak. I'm not vulnerable to, you know, falling into sin necessarily. So I'm strong in the Lord. So he allowed me to, you know, observe this person and learn from them and see, you know, how messed up that realm is. It's really messed up. But so whatever situation with her, God, thank you that whether it's a really good Christian or just somebody who's a baby Christian or really doesn't, may not be that sold out to Jesus, that you will cause her to grow from that, or to grow from any situation you bring her, God, because she has a heart chosen by you to do your work, to seek after your face, and to know you, God. And as that grows up within her, Father, you're going to nurture her and show her how to fellowship with you, how to talk to you, how to get her satisfaction from you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Not from people and not from things, but from you. And when she has that down, you know, the best she can, where she can learn to get her satisfaction from the Lord, what people do and don't do are not going to affect her. So I thank you, Jesus, for strengthening her, making her strong, so that whatever she comes across, God, she can learn from it, good, bad, or ugly. She'll be able to learn from it and not be influenced by it for negative purposes. God, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, glory to God. I, you know, I love that prayer because I mean, being twisted, you know, from somebody who may say, well, I'm a Christian, and then they turn around and do something totally opposite. So it's good to find genuine people that are willing to stand with you.
Right, yeah. And that really believe what they say they believe. You know, it takes time to believe what you say you believe. I mean, we all say we believe all this stuff. God's going to heal us, prosper us, bless us, you know, fall in love with Jesus every day. That kind of, but to actually do it is a whole other thing. That's why Jesus said, my brothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Because that's the big thing that separates us all out, really.
Yes, I believe that. And that's the wheat from the tares. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Yeah. I just, you know, and I think with children these days, and we're in the pretty much the end times, you want to, you know, kind of guide them as much as you can, and they're going to fall down and make mistakes, and you're trying to be there hand in hand with them. Sometimes, you know, you're going to have that time when you got to let go. and let God, you know?
Right. Yep. Yes,
so
we do.
Yes, so I decided to do that because at one point I was just holding on. You know, don't do this, don't do that. You know, just like fragile. But I realized that I can't do that all the time because it would drive me up the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I think you got that figured out.
Yeah, I got it figured out. It was beginning to be a headache, you know, because every time you try to hold on to every, no, don't go that way. There is a danger there, or don't do this. And that can, it's lack of faith, number one. And then number two, it can cause a headache.
Anxiety and stress and unnecessary. There's necessary battles and then there's unnecessary ones. And a lot of it's unnecessary.
Mhm.
Yep.
So maybe we can get some time together, mother and daughter. We did that today because on my birthday we went to have dinner, have brunch with my family, and we went to a restaurant that was overlooking the bay. So that was real nice. And I just called tonight just to say, you know, I'm thankful to turn another year. That the Lord has provided me to be 51 and just praying that he leads and guides me to more years.
Yep. Yes. Yes. 2022. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, let this be a time of treasures to where we find out how to treasure all the right things. Seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness. To treasure your word, to treasure your Holy Spirit, to treasure one another, and to find out where our treasures are, and focus on that, and focus on you, Jesus. And all the treasures that you have sent to us, that we will recognize them as treasures and treat them as such from you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, what I did for the year was I just wrote down the things that I want to do. It wasn't more like it was just a list that, okay, fasting and praying. You know, you're going to do the weight loss, of course. Everybody wants to do that. But just a list that the Lord, that I can make affirmations to the Lord. What I can give up,
right.
You know, what I can do for him. That's something that I'm working on, is making a list for him and doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit to help us, yeah. Show us what to ask for. I'm always asking him, show me what to ask for, because I don't know always. I think I know sometimes, and I find out that I don't. So I ask him, what do you want me to ask for? Give me your desires so that when I pray from the desire realm, that I pray your desires instead of my own. And, you know, he answers that stuff. So pretty cool.
Yeah, and if I can get the fasting down, if I can do that, fasting and praying, the praying part is no problem, but fasting and just, you know, go ahead and do that maybe 3 days out of the week and just really get into that, I think that would be pretty good. You know, that's where I am right now.
Yeah. Yep. We go and we take off. It's like Abraham took off. God said, I'm going to go to a place I'm going to show you. He just took off. You know, sometimes we just
mm-hmm.
take off, we go with what we know. And little by little, we began to get more information, hear the voice of God, you know, because we're stepping out by faith and trying to obey him the best we can. He honors that. He says, okay, I'm going to show you the way.
Isn't that beautiful? And
yeah.
I think it's so beautiful. You know, what I really think is so beautiful is that he doesn't pressure us to do exactly, he doesn't pressure us to do his will. He gives us the liberty.
Yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah,
that's what's so beautiful about it.
And then it becomes, when it becomes your desire, then you're doing it because you desire it, not just because you have to or you should. But when he plants it inside you like a seed, and that seed starts to grow up, then you desire the very thing that he wants you to desire. That last month or a couple of years ago or maybe whatever, you couldn't desire that. You wanted to desire it, but you couldn't. So he begins to put that desire within us.
Mm.
Yeah,
well, I want to thank you so much.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad I was able to sow the seed into the ministry.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we really appreciate it. Yeah, I'm glad you're glad too. That's really cool. I really like that. It's really awesome. All right, Sarah.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it, man. Good. We'll
okay.
Well,
thank
you. Daughter and for yourself, and believe in God to, yeah, to multiply and increase you for sure.
Yeah.
You
know, I was going to say this before I leave. I had a job offer, and it was working in the infant room and as a preschool teacher, but I would be responsible for five infants. And I just wanted to, when you get a chance to pray, that if I was to take that everything runs well with that position. I'm going to give her an answer by next Monday.
Okay.
So if you would pray for me that all goes well in that arena.
Yes. Yes. You said there's five involved, five children?
Five infants. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in every group, there's always, one kid who has more issues than the other one, but I think, Lord, you've given her wisdom on how to handle that, how to distribute the distribution of her love and her how to, kids from their problems and get them into thinking about something else and move their attention to the places where it needs to be, where it would be better off. And you give her wisdom, God, you've given her wisdom how to deal with those kind of things. Father, and I thank you, Lord, that you bless that in Jesus' name, increase that. And, let that be a blessing to her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I love you, and I love your family, and just continue to do the Lord's will, and I'll talk to you soon in Jesus' name.
All right. Sarah, thank you so much. Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for the generous offering from Generous. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, all right. Love you too. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. All right, cool. All right, that's my last caller with their hand up. So I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. It's about 12:30. Starts getting late. All right. All right, everyone. We're going to call it a night tonight. Thank you so much for your love for PGN and for the way that we, just love talking with people, ministering to people, everyday people, ministers, everyday folk, all kinds of people. We love it. And God is along the way and building them up and giving them encouragement, information. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. All right, bye-bye.